Quartz, Math Moose, Apple Moth, and also, and Spencer is going to be here, and also we'll be talking about some trees that he was able to not get cut down in Pebble Beach. So that's David Dilworth tomorrow. Please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show that's coming up next on the CBS News. Have a great day.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Not what a pilot wants to hear just as the throttles are being pushed for takeoff.
15-44, stop.
On the other hand, hearing that does save lives because it keeps you from continuing into the path of another airplane. The NTSB says the government needs to hurry up with new technology to put real-time proximity information into the cockpit.
The FAA says it is taking action, ordering that runway signage, lighting, markings be improved at some of the nation's busiest airport. This helps pilots, but what the NTSB says they really need is information in the cockpit automatically when they're getting too close to another plane.
CBS News transportation correspondent Nancy Cordes there. Noisy today as O.J. Simpson came back to court in Las Vegas. Some of his alleged co-conspirators have promised to turn state's evidence. One alleged robbery victim's been testifying. CBS's Steve Futterman live now from Las Vegas.
And Harley, this preliminary hearing will determine if there's enough evidence to send the case to trial. It all goes back to September when Simpson and others in his entourage confronted two sports memorabilia dealers. The first witness on the stand, one of those dealers, Bruce Fromong, he described the chaos during the confrontation.
OJ was screaming, "This is all my," he kept using the word, "This is all my, this all belongs to me. You guys stole this from me."
And Fromong testified two of those with Simpson were armed with guns. Live at the county courthouse in Las Vegas, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
The Republican Party says the GOP, like the Democrats, just can't have so many states clamoring to be first or nearly first with their primaries. New Hampshire, Florida, South Carolina, Michigan, and Wyoming will lose half their delegates each to the national convention. Professor Aubrey Jewett at the University of Central Florida.
The main thing is the Republican candidates are coming to the state, they're campaigning hard, and they're putting themselves in a pretty good position to potentially win the state in the general election.
Officials say clustering gives a huge edge to whoever has big money early, as opposed to a continual rolling out of ideas and political debate in a process aimed at picking the best candidate. On Wall Street, a volatile day. The Dow was down 33 points. It had been down 200. NASDAQ lost 52. Stocks analyst Hugh Johnson says the slide's probably not done yet.
We have more bad news coming at us, both on defaults on the mortgage side of things, problems on mortgage-backed securities that are owned by major financial institutions.
Still, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke predicted continued economic growth, slower but still growing well into next year. A kiss is just a kiss. Not on your life, or the life of your relationship at least. A kiss is just a test. Researchers say for a woman, the kiss is a measuring stick, a quick way to size you up as a possible suitor. In other words, does she want to kiss you twice? Flunk the kiss test and you can kiss your chances with her goodbye. The kiss, as Satchmo sang it, really is something to build a dream on. This is CBS News.
Today's the day to look ahead. This Friday and Saturday, it's the JCPenney Veterans Day sale. Get night and day doorbusters Friday, 5 p.m. till close, and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Take an extra 10% off our entire stock of women's outerwear, already 50% off. Plus, an extra 10% off all gold jewelry, already 65% off. The JCPenney Veterans Day sale. Go to jcp.com now to see everything on sale. And stop in. Stores open early Saturday, 8 a.m. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer ends November 10th.
Ace Hardware was ranked highest in customer satisfaction among major home improvement stores by J.D. Power & Associates. To thank our customers, we're holding a thank you sale with 20% off almost everything you can fit in your thank you shopping bag. It's the thank you sale this Saturday only at Ace, the holiday helpful place. Participating stores only. Discount off regular price of in-store merchandise only. Additional conditions and some exclusions apply. See store for details. Limit one bag per customer. For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
to Gina, Louisiana, for legal arguments over an alleged ringleader of a gang beating of a student at a local high school. Six black students, one white.
Michael Bell's lawyers were back in court trying to get the charges against him dropped. They filed a flurry of motions.
We hope that one of these motions will be successful.
Bell, whose original conviction was overturned, is still in jail for a probation violation, but his mother says they haven't lost hope.
Still, we ain't gonna never give up on that, not winning. We're gonna keep that confidence. We're gonna always believe in that.
Bell's case brought thousands of civil rights protesters to this town in September. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Gina, Louisiana.
A retired elder North Carolina couple who went missing in the Pisgah National Forest near Asheville have been gone more than 2 weeks now. Hope of finding them alive has faded. John and Irene Bryant are 79 and 84. It's been below freezing at night in the mountains. They are avid hikers, and they know the area, but it is rugged, and they have been out there for a long time. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Sam's Club has cranberry pomegranate pork loin. Would that be good?
Oh, it's so good.
Why do you look like me?
I'm future you. And because of that pork loin, there are 10 very satisfied people in our living room.
But I only invited 5 people. Word gets around.
Join us November 16th through the 18th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club. There are chef demonstrations, food samples, and party supplies. Sam's Club. Enjoy the possibilities. Join today to avoid the 10% service fee that applies to non-member purchases.
You know, a wise man once said, do what you love and you won't have to work a day in your life. Of course, small business owners know that doing what you love sometimes involves doing things you don't love, like the finances. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Woo!
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're just getting rolling today on the Peter B. Collins Show. You haven't missed a thing. But do stay tuned so you don't miss a thing over the next 3 hours. We got a lot to talk about and some great people to talk about it with, including, perhaps, you.
Listen.
Escucha. We are broadcasting in Viva. Coming up later this hour, Mike Lux returns to our program. He blogs at openleft.com. He's a political activist and a progressive. We're going to talk to him about some of the key disappointments this week, the vote for Michael Mukasey as the next attorney general, and also the way impeachment was handled when Dennis Kucinich introduced it on the House floor just the other day. Also, Mike Lux hails from Iowa. We're going to get his thoughts on the Iowa caucuses moved up to early January and how the holidays will affect political campaigning. Also on today's program, our regular visit from Scott Dick, our expert on military and veterans issues. He'll be joining us next hour, and a special guest will join me with Scott. His name is Kaj Larson, and he is a reporter at Al Gore's Current TV. And Kaj Larson submitted on videotape to waterboarding. It's ugly. It's really hard to watch. We'll play some of the audio track and give you the web address so you can find it for yourself. Also on today's show, we'll open up the phones in the free speech zone and talk to our Oregon listeners about rejection of the tobacco tax that would have paid for children's health care. Is that a precursor of the debate over national S-chip and how to pay for it? That's some of what we'll be talking about today. Your calls and comments welcome at any moment. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. My personal email is yours, peter@peterbcollins.com. Faz Shakir is research director at the Center for American Progress, and together with a great team, he co-edits the Daily Progress Report. You can get it free in your email, just like I do. Log on to progressreport.org and catch up with it. Faz, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you, Peter?
Not too bad. Must be a very busy week in Washington.
Yeah, it's getting a little busier. It's been slow for a little while, though.
Yeah. And any sightings of Sarkozy of France? Did you have a chance to, buy him a glass of wine?
No, but he was in town, as I'm sure you know, and he was delivering a speech before Congress, and I don't think it really generated much attention here in the district, though.
Yeah. Well, he ain't Jacques Chirac. That's about the most I think most people know about him so far.
Right.
Well, I wanted to ask you about something mildly historic today. The United States Senate actually overrode a presidential veto. And it's not on a bill that I consider to be life or death, but for many people, the water bill, particularly in New Orleans, includes money for critical projects and repair to infrastructure. It also includes a whole wad of pork in there. And it seems that it's the pork that brought out the override, much more than the principle of showing the president that the Congress knows how to spend money.
Yeah, that's right. I think that they were able to, that they being Congress were able to cobble together the votes to override President Bush's veto because each of those various congressmen has a lot invested in this bill, and there are various projects in there that have a lot of local support. I mean, if you look at Florida, they got a bunch of money for Everglades restoration. You go into Missouri, and you got Missouri River and Mississippi River funding in there. And so there's a lot of local projects that pay for a lot of jobs as well. And so when President Bush vetoed it, it wasn't that hard of a task to override him, given that all politics is local.
Now, is this consistent with pay-as-you-go? In other words, the, what, $23 billion that they've authorized, is it offset by cuts or increases in revenues, or is this a tax and a borrow and spend proposition?
Yeah, this is not set off. This is something that comes out of the general domestic spending budget. And, as long as we continue to run deficits, it's going to be tax and spend, or tax and borrow. You're right. You're right in that it's not paid for. It's not offset.
Mm-hmm. And it is interesting when we see the priorities, because I do consider at least half of this water package to be essential. And yet the spending that was proposed for SCHIP, the spending increase, which was about $7 to $9 billion a year, that couldn't find enough votes. But the self-interest and the grease that comes from bringing pork home to your district, that seems to be what really made the difference here.
That's right. And this bill was, I think, around $23 billion or so.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty significant sum. Half of the amount that we're looking to give to Iraq right now, $50 billion, and then, of course, President Bush is asking for $200 billion over the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So taking those all into consideration, and I think Congress has to prioritize where it's going to spend its money, and it's unfortunate, I think, that those things that are most vital are being left behind, and Congress is ready to jump all over itself to pass water projects while leaving healthcare behind.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just mentioned the plan that's emerging from the House regarding the president's demand for about $200 billion and the House's response. And this is, incremental, but it's mildly encouraging that Chairman Obie at Appropriations has said, no, we're not going to give you this whole amount up front, and that the Democrats seem to be unifying around this idea of doling the money out instead of just writing these huge blank checks.
Well, it's about time, right?
Yes, it is.
Hopefully by now we've learned some lessons, and we shouldn't be cutting checks that he doesn't need. And so he's, I think, President Bush has gone to the well a few times too often here. And so now Congress is trying to rein it back. And what Chairman Obie and a number of other appropriators have said is that they don't want to pass that $200 billion bill anytime this year because there isn't a pressing need for it. Rather, they want to chop it up. And so what they're talking about right now is a quote-unquote bridge funding to get us through this year and then reevaluate sometime early next year the totality of the money and at that time also talk about a phased withdrawal from Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Faz Shakir with us from the Center for American Progress, and we're talking about today's progress report, where your lead story is about an interesting development in these off-year elections in the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth, actually. Conservatives lost control of the state Senate, and they had tried to hold on by playing the card that Pete Wilson used out here in California in the early 1990s. They keep coming and coming and coming. The fear of immigration and immigrants and illegal immigrants. And it's interesting that the strategy didn't work there. But we also saw that Hillary Clinton ran into the buzzsaw as she was asked the question about New York's driver's license policy and the new program offered by Governor Spitzer. And she answered the question by taking every conceivable position. And I did agree with one of her answers, which is that we really do need to provide driver's licenses to everybody who's driving, irrespective of their immigration status. And I believe that's a very rational position, but it enrages the hardliners on immigration and the anti-amnesty people who just believe that by taking a righteous hard line, we can make this problem go away and we can cause 12 million or more undocumented people to just say, sayonara, adios, I'm going home.
That's right. I mean, that's a very good analysis. I think you used a key word, rational. Rational is missing from this whole immigration debate. And when we try to talk about rational approaches, whether they're rational on border enforcement or you're trying to curtail public benefits in a rational way or you're trying to talk about dealing with the permanent status of those who are already here living with us, those rational approaches are immediately rejected out of hand by this small contingent of far right-wing voices who seems to now dominate the airwaves, dominate the blogosphere, dominate even print media with their vitriolic statements. A lot of it is engendered out of hatred and xenophobia and nativism, and that's what we talked about today, is that a lot of the voices that you're hearing are hate groups that have been around for generations and have morphed over time with the same ideological purpose, which is, hey, we want to maintain white America, and this is a threat to our way of being. And so those voices are the ones we need to isolate before we start moving forward, apparently, towards the more rational approaches that we need.
Well, and many people are aware of this right-wing nut who hails from my town of San Francisco, who uses the radio name Michael Savage, and he reduces his themes to language, culture, borders. And that's all he talks about. And I believe that, and I want to say this carefully because I know that some people get real hot about these issues. We have every right to enforce our borders. We have every right to enforce the existing immigration laws in this country, including sanctions on those who employ undocumented workers and exploit them. And that's the area, of course, that gets short shrift. ICE has rounded up tens of thousands of undocumented people and expelled them from the country in this past year. Employers have not felt nearly that kind of heat. There have been a couple of PR raids of meatpacking plants and others, but by and large, that effort is not enforced. And, Faz, I believe that the most extreme voices, including Savage and Tancredo, who's running for president on this issue, that they know that this is a code for racism, that by talking about immigration and taking a hard line, they are talking almost exclusively about Spanish speakers who they dream are all coming over our southern borders. And that is a part of our immigration problem. But there are a lot of white Europeans, there are a lot of Asians, there are people who come from all over the world and overstay their visas, and many of them come in via airports. They don't swim across the Rio Grande or, you know, make their way through the deserts of Arizona and California.
Well, you remember in 2004 we were talking about flag burning, we were talking about gay marriage, social issues that conservatives have long used to mobilize their base. In much the same way, immigration is now a social issue. It's not an economic issue in right-wing circles. It's not any kind of, the politics of immigration have boiled down simply to cultural, social divisiveness. And as you say, it's about, it has a very strong racist element and a xenophobic element to it. And that's the part we need to try to drive more attention to, because if we aren't going to accomplish the comprehensive immigration reform that much of the country, overwhelming parts of the country, agrees with, until you isolate them and call them out for what they're trying to do.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return. We'll talk more with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion. From an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
When you take a breath, 80% of the oxygen you're breathing is created by plankton, a job which could be compromised if plastics continue to crowd the surface waters of our oceans. There are now areas of the Pacific two times the size of Texas where plastic outnumbers plankton 6-1. Save Our Shores is a marine conservation organization dedicated to educating and activating our community. To keep plastics out of our oceans, visit SaveOurShores.org or call 831-462-5660.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. 23 minutes after the hour, we're talking with Faz Shakir. He's research director at the Center for American Progress and co-editor of their Daily Progress Report. And Faz, this is a tough one, almost as tricky as Sudoku. I never know how to pronounce that game.
Sudoku.
But we recently had congressional authorization for the national debt to rise to just under the $10 trillion level. And this week it was reported that we have used up about $9 trillion of the existing line of credit, if you want to think of it that way. And recently a listener quizzed me, and, you know, I hit the wall in Econ 101. But I was trying to piece together what the components are of the national debt, because some people think it's just the accumulation of deficits. And we know that we were basically, at break even when Bill Clinton left office. Not that we had no national debt, but we were not contributing additional money to it. But it has risen, almost doubled since Bush took office. And in broad terms, what are the components? Does it include the borrowing from the Social Security Trust Fund, for example?
No, it does not include that. But there are, I think, three – well, actually, I take that back. The future payments out of the Social Security Trust Fund, the future retirees is not included. Those mm-hmm. are the off-balance sheet stuff, right? The future payments on Medicare, future payments on Social Security, that's a big
– So my pension, which has not yet been claimed, they're borrowing against, but the current payout is going forward.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So, but I think that there are generally, I'm not an expert on this too, but I think there's three areas. One is that holds the federal debt. One is the Federal Reserve. That's the government borrowing against itself, as you mentioned. I think that includes Social Security, but that's back pay Social Security. That's not future. Mm-hmm. They're borrowing against the future to pay now, but the future payments aren't included.
Mm-hmm.
Domestic owned stuff. And then there's the foreign owned. A lot of people pay attention to the foreign owned. That's, you know, Japan, China,
right.
A whole host of other countries who own that part of the debt.
And those are mostly Treasury bills, right?
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. I mean, the way this works is that the Treasury needs debt. It sells or trades its securities in the open market, and then people buy them. And so domestically, I think the people who are most frequently buying them are people like government trust funds, state and local government, pensions, private pensions, U.S. savings bonds. Those are the people who are snatching up the debt in the open market.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any idea what it costs to service that debt?
Are you talking about the interest on the debt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the interest on the debt is the reason why it keeps growing and why we can't cut it down. But I don't know. I couldn't tell you offhand what it costs to service it. But all I know is that in the Clinton years, when we were talking about paying down the debt, we were paying down on the interest that was accumulating on the debt.
Right.
So we were getting to the point where we were starting to curtail the interest that was accumulating, getting to the point where we were almost getting to cutting into the actual debt itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, fortunately, we didn't use variable rate mortgages to finance this debt. We don't have to worry about those subprime loans catching up with us, at least in that respect.
The economy is certainly taking a big downturn. I think there's some polls out this week, CNN amongst them, has economy now as the number one issue that Americans believe is going to be important to their vote in the 2008 elections, which is, I think, a surprising turn of events in Washington, D.C., because it's not an issue that actually gets talked about quite a bit. Iraq does, national security issues, those kinds of things, but economy doesn't. But I think out in the heartland, those are the issues that are pressing on people the most, and it's only going to get worse, I think, in the next few months here.
Yeah, well, and no one cheers, of course, a recession or other economic downturn, but hey, if it had to happen during an election year, hopefully that can be helpful to helping some Republicans retire. Roger joins us on the phone from KPA. Hey, Roger, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter in Shakir. Hey, I want to make one observation concerning the people that are, I'm going to say, anti-Indian. The workers coming across the border are primarily Indians from the South. The observation is this. In World War II, we used 26 Indian languages to talk open on the battlefield. And most of the guys that are anti the Indians coming out of the South, they don't seem to know that because they emphasize English only constantly. And so they're not from here in a generic way. You know
okay,
I mean?
Now,
they're not familiar with World War II history.
Let's get our terminology here. When you talk about Indians, you're talking about tribes from south of our border, or are you talking about Native Americans?
Indians, among the Indians, okay, we don't proselytize. That's our hallmark. That's how you can identify our philosophies. They don't proselytize. So on both continents, you have all these Indians. They're tribal Indians.
Mm-hmm.
We overlay. We have like laminated societies, but we don't assimilate. And so I'm talking about the combined Indians. So we see the workers in the fields. Those are farm groups coming out of the South. And those guys cross-train. They're part of the Mexico Mexica, if you pronounce the X like an S-H.
Right.
Okay, is the Aztec Empire.
Okay, and, Roger, I'm sorry, our time has run here. I appreciate your comment. I'm not sure I exactly understand it. Faz, thank you for joining us today. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Peter.
Talk to you again next week. That's Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. Mike Lux will join us next from Washington.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by TreeClassics.com, the world's finest artificial Christmas trees. I'm Charles Osgood. With the price of crude oil dancing around $100 a barrel and the price of gasoline and heating oil already well over $3 a gallon, what is the poor consumer to do this winter? Bottom line, says Administrator Guy Caruso of the Energy Information Administration,
in the short run, there is not a lot people can do to affect demand other than perhaps turn the thermostat down, and in the case of heating oil, and drive less in the case of gasoline.
More after this for Tree Classics. This Christmas, decorate your home with the world's finest artificial Christmas trees from TreeClassics.com. With more than 76 styles, all backed by their 10-year tree and 5-year light warranty, TreeClassics.com is the place to visit for a hassle-free holiday. Buy factory direct and save 40 to 60% with free delivery. Type in CO22 for an additional 10% discount when you're checking out. TreeClassics.com. Their price and their quality cannot be beat.
9, 10, 11.
Hey, Zinc, what's with the push-ups?
100. Oh, hey, vitamin A. Just beefing up for the new Centrum Silver. It's all about health protection.
And how do we help protect people's health?
By getting totally buff.
No, Zinc. We help protect people's health by working together. Like CNE supporting natural cell repair.
So I did 100 push-ups for nothing?
No, you did 12 push-ups for nothing.
New age-adjusted Centrum Silver. Working better together.
From A to Zinc.
From Los Angeles.
No matter what, you have to pay for the gas, so it's so expensive.
To Altoona.
My income isn't going up as fast as the gas prices. So, you know, somewhere else I'm going to have to make cuts.
Everybody knows about what's happened to gasoline prices. It's because of the price of crude. And as CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus tells us,
we have the ongoing tensions in the oil-rich Middle East. There are still concerns about a supply crunch as we head into the winter months, and these things are not going away anytime soon. We also still have to contend with any possible storms or hurricanes that could hit oil platforms.
Winter weather is always a question mark, but with winter still ahead of us, the Energy Department's analytical arm figures this way.
For individual homeowners who heat with heating oil, the average expenditure this year compared with last will be up about 25%.
And what does that mean in dollars? Again, Guy Caruso.
Last year, the average homeowner that uses heating oil spent about $1,500 for the winter. This year, it will be close to $1,900.
It varies from region to region.
That's about $1,900 for the average household in the northeastern region, which is where most of our heating oil is consumed.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's a gray day around San Francisco Bay, and even a little grayer because a Chinese freighter banged into the Bay Bridge yesterday, spilling almost 60,000 gallons of bunker oil. Yuck. Lyrics stolen right from the Bible. That takes us back to the birds. I think it's the book of Ecclesiastes. And one of the seasons that's upon us is primary season. And the Iowa caucuses are just 60 or so days away. And things are heating up. And things are going to be very different this year because of the schedule, the proximity to the holidays. Mike Lux joins us now, a political activist with roots there in Corn Country in Iowa. And he blogs at openleft.com. He's got a post up there about these issues, about the Iowa caucuses. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
I'm doing great today, except when I think about the Democrats. How about you?
I won't make a comment about that.
Well, I'm going to force you to. We're going to get to the Iowa stuff in a moment. And Barack Obama has discovered the difference between Cedar Rapids and Des Moines. His plane.
No, I haven't even heard this one. What happened?
Oh, he was late for a fundraising dinner the other night because he was supposed to go into CR, but they flew to Des Moines. And he said they didn't really notice until they landed and nobody came to greet them that they were at the wrong airport. So they fired up the jet and flew back to Cedar Rapids. And apparently there were a few contributors who were steamed, but otherwise not a big story.
Wow, I hadn't even heard that one. That's pretty funny.
Well, I want to get your thoughts because me and my listeners, I'll put it that way, have been very disappointed by a couple of issues this week. First of all, our senator from California, Dianne Feinstein, and Chuck Schumer from New York contributed the pivotal votes that broke what was shaping up as some unity among Democrats to oppose the nomination of Judge Mukasey as the new attorney general. And while the torture issue is important, I frankly think that there's a whole litany of reasons why Judge Mukasey should not be confirmed. And there's some talk of filibusters, and Harry Reid was going to prevent it from coming to the floor if it didn't get out of the Judiciary Committee. But I don't see a real battle taking shape here. And I think most people are hiding behind the idea of two points made by Schumer and Feinstein. One is, this guy's acceptable because he's not Alberto Gonzalez. That's really lame. And number two, that we couldn't expect anything better from Bush. And if we reject this, we'd either have a caretaker for the rest of Bush's term or somebody worse. And I don't accept either of those rationales, or I prefer to call them BS excuses.
Well, I tend to agree with you. I think this was a mistake on Schumer and Feinstein's part. And I don't understand why people and why so many Democrats in Congress feel the need to cave to Bush so often. I mean, this guy is at 30%, maybe below 30. There's been polls with him as low as 24% approval rating. People are over George Bush. They're tired of him. He doesn't have any credibility, and yet Democrats consistently seem to think that we ought to cave to him. And so I just think, you know, that these excuses are not good. I am a very pragmatic person, and I sometimes disagree with my progressive friends on some of these issues. I mean, Peter, you and I have had debates in the past on mm-hmm. on some different things, but I just think we cave too much. You know, I think you can be pragmatic at times. There are times for that, but you know. Why do you cave to a guy who's at 24% approval rating?
Well, and they're getting Bupkis out of this, okay? If they had made a trade to confirm you, Casey, in exchange for a serious investigation of Gonzalez and the U.S. attorney matters, the exposure of the missing emails and Karl Rove's shenanigans there with the off White House servers and email accounts. Those are issues that I really would like to see the Democrats fight harder for. And with the exception of the Judiciary Committee in the House following up on the subpoenas of Myers and Bolton over at the White House, Myers, the former White House counsel, you know, they basically just flushed that baby down the toilet.
I totally agree.
And again, I'm sometimes almost as pragmatic as you, Mike. Maybe a skosh less, but I really think that if you're going to horse trade, you've got to get something for it. And here, you know, they played let's make a deal, and you know, Monty Hall took him to the cleaners.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's the other thing, and I, you know, I feel the same on the Iraq votes. You know, it is true that there are not the votes to just stop funding entirely for the war, but by God, they do have the power to hold the legislation up to you know, to force Bush's hand on some compromises, and they have not done that. I just think our guys need to be far better negotiators and far tougher on these things, and I don't understand why they cave so easily and, as you say, get so little for it.
Yeah, yeah. It's really stunning, and I am very concerned that Mukasey has bobbed and weaved sufficiently that there really will be no change in the NSA spying program, the illegal wiretapping program.
No.
This is another way of eroding what support there was for a tough FISA bill, the House version much tougher than the Senate, and Jay Rockefeller's up there ready to sell out our privacy rights and our Fourth Amendment. And I just, you know, where do you stop when it comes to this discouraging and disappointing reaction to this incredible lack of leadership?
Well, you know, it's sad. I write frequently on my on the blog on Open Left about what I call the culture of caution. I think that we have a bunch of legislators who came of political age in the 80s and 90s who are in leadership now, who were raised, you know, politically in an era where they were getting the crap beat out of them by Ronald Reagan first, and by Newt Gingrich, and they just got overly cautious and aren't willing to really take tough stands on things. And I think that's such a mistake.
Well, then let me jump.
People admire you more when you take tough stands.
And let me jump right into the impeachment debate, because as you know, Mike, I believe that we have had criminality, we have had open violation of the oaths of office taken by Bush, Cheney, and other top officials. And I do understand why Pelosi said it was off the table during the 06 elections. Karl Rove had thrown down a marker that he would use that as a way to rally Republicans if Democrats made that a campaign issue. But ever since, I cannot fathom why she has maintained that posture. And it's not that I have a dream that Bush or Cheney would ever be removed from office. I want to draw a line to establish what did occur in terms of lawbreaking and constitutional violations and make it clear to this nation and to the world that's watching us that we do not tolerate that unconstitutional behavior, the power grabs, the expansion of torture and other human rights violations in the name of securing this country. And so I supported Dennis Kucinich's effort. I'm proud that he introduced the bill over the objections of his leaders. And then Pelosi got skunked because John Boehner pulled a Machiavellian tactic there and instructed his Republicans, who do follow orders, to switch their votes in an effort to embarrass the Democrats into actually having a debate on the issue. And instead of reading that and pivoting, and my belief is, you know, if Pelosi had asked me, I would have said, Nancy, release your caucus. Let them vote their conscience and let this run its course. You've delayed it far enough that it can't have any meaningful impact. So what is there to be lost by establishing the wrongdoing of this administration and perhaps throwing up a roadblock to an intended attack on Iran?
I think that the politics of the impeachment thing are tricky. And you and I have talked about this before. I frankly have been in different places at different times on this. I was a person who did a lot of work. I helped manage the anti-impeachment campaign when Clinton was being impeached. And so I have very mixed feelings about this as an issue because I don't think the public understands what impeachment is or relates to it very much. I think that they tend to think that whatever party is pushing it is just doing it for partisan political reasons, and I think it's a hard sell. It's a hard thing to convince people that you're doing the right thing. So I've tended to oppose it over time, but I also see, you know, just blatant disregard for the law. I think this is the most corrupt administration maybe in American history. There's two or three that come close if you look back over the years. But
Mike, I respect your political calculations there. At the same time, the Constitution is clear. There really is only one remedy to rein in this kind of expansion of power and law-breaking by elected officials. And I don't think it's an optional situation. I agree that it can be misconstrued and that there's an education process that would go along with it to explain to people how impeachment works, that the first process is essentially an investigation and the return of an indictment by the House, and that if that doesn't reach fruition, then there's no trial in the Senate, no risk of removing those individuals from office. But I believe that if the Democrats stood on the principle of the Constitution, that whatever occurs would benefit them politically in 2008. And I think that by whiffing on it, they lose the base, they divide the Democratic Party, they leave many independents scratching their heads saying, well, they must be complicit in this. They must want, desire the same powers that Bush has taken for himself.
Now, you know, I know what you're saying. I think, though, that the problem that I have is that impeachment is a political issue. It's not just a matter of law. It is a matter of law, but it's not just a matter of law. It's about politics. It's about getting, 51% of the votes in the House and 67% of the votes in the Senate. And it's of, by, and for. The whole process is of, by, and for politicians. And so that's what makes me the reservation. If you're doing it for politics, if you can't win on the vote, if you know going in that every Republican will vote against it and therefore you lose in the Senate.
Well, but we don't know that, Mike, until we really attempt it, until you open up the various cans of worms, and particularly during an election year, there are almost 24 Republicans in the Senate who have to keep an eye on their constituents and can't simply vote party line if, you know, massive corruption is exposed, as I think it would be.
Well, I don't disagree with that. When Watergate happened, You remember that the initial investigations that Sam Irwin's committee pursued were not impeachment investigations. They didn't start by saying, let's impeach the guy, unlike what the Republicans did with Clinton in 98. They started by saying, okay, we're going to look at what's happened. We're going to investigate it. We're going to see where it takes us. And in the course of doing that, they exposed so much corruption and so many illegal acts that they were led to start impeachment proceedings. That's a scenario that I can totally live with.
And Nixon won the 72 elections and was out on his ear just about 18 months later, well, almost 22 months later.
It was a little longer. It was August of 74.
Right.
22 months after the election, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The scenario that we were just talking about, I could live with that if we just started down this path and said, look, let's investigate and see where it takes us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not call it impeachment. Let's just call it an investigation. I could totally support that.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with Mike Lux and let him talk to us about Iowa and how the shift in the caucus schedule may change things this campaign season.
My fellow Americans, at our convention, Miami and L.A., a campaign across the USA. Let me make this perfectly clear. Let me stick it in your ear. They said, hey, babe, make a date with the Watergate. My fellow Americans, I said, hey, honey, make a date with the Watergate.
We'll continue in a moment.
Mitchell says,
here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
This is Larry Levine of the local United Nations Association. Don't miss our International Film Festival November 9th, 10th, and 11th at the beautiful Golden State Theater in downtown Monterey. We will screen 12 outstanding documentary films from Sudan, Iran, Cuba, Bolivia, Lesotho, and other countries. Admission is just $5 per day, free admission for all students. For films and times, go to www.unamontereybay.org. That's unamontereybay.org.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up about, 10 minutes from now, we're going to meet Kaj Larson. He's a journalist for Al Gore's current TV channel. And he videotaped a waterboarding experience he had recently. It's really ugly, and we're going to share that with you coming up just after the top of the hour news. We continue now with Mike Lux. He blogs at openleft.com, longtime progressive activist with deep roots in the great state of Iowa, where the caucuses have now been scheduled for January 3rd. That's a Thursday, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to check the calendar earlier today. And you posted an item at openleft.com recently about how this scheduling that's just 2 days after New Year's and right behind the Christmas holidays is really going to change the campaign, because often the most negative advertising, the hardest hits, the direct mail pieces that are just dripping with toxic comments, that stuff all drops in the week before caucuses or elections are held. And this year we've got the feel-good time of Christmas, the different schedules that people are on, and even the bowl games that are going to really change the landscape.
Yeah, it's really true. It's a very, very different dynamic, and I've been intrigued to start watching how the campaigns are thinking about running. Because normally, even in the Iowa caucuses, which have always been early in the year, I mean, they've sometimes been in February, but frequently in January. But even that early in the year, they generally take a break between Christmas and New Year's from campaigning. Well, you can't take a break the week before the election, so it really does put the campaigns in a different kind of place. So I'm going to be fascinated to see how the campaigns deal with that tactically. You know, what kinds of ads they end up running, whether they do the kind of mail that you usually see the last week. I would guess they won't. I pointed out in my blog, you know, the option of doing robocalls or other kinds of calls as people are sitting down to family Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
it's really going to tick people off. So mm-hmm. The campaigns are going to have to be very creative about how they work in that last week. And I also think that they may get fewer volunteers because of all of that. They may get, they may just have trouble communicating on a campaign. And
I can imagine Mike Huckabee's going to have caroling parties. And
absolutely. Maybe the Democrats will, too. I think the campaigns are going to have to be very, very thoughtful.
Now, you know, Mike, they call it Boxing Day in England, but the day after Christmas is when a lot of people go back and return the gifts that they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the campaigns can set something up where, you know, you can bring us that unwanted item and trade it to us for your vote.
Well, I do think that the campaigns will have to have fun with it, and I think doing those kinds of creative things and hanging out in front of department stores the day after Christmas, I think encouraging people to put stocking stuffers in that are funny but maybe campaign related. Mm-hmm. I think encouraging people to take again kind of funny, interesting literature to New Year's Eve parties. I really do think that they're going to have to think their tactics through, and I think it's going to. I mean, I suggested in my post on Open Left that I think it's going to make it harder for the underdogs who are trying for a last minute surge, because I think what's going to happen is that most people are just going to be paying less attention to politics that week. They're going to be spending time with their families. They're going to be off of work. They're not going to be checking the computer as often or the newscast as often. I think it's going to make it harder for candidates who are behind to break through that week.
Yeah. It'll also, I think, throw a curveball to any pollsters who are working on last-minute trends. And, of course, the Iowa caucuses are some of the most difficult events to poll.
Yes, that's absolutely right, too, because different people tend to answer the phone around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
You got family members who don't live there visiting home, and
yeah, that was my crazy Uncle Charlie who
right,
said,
right.
"I want Rudy Giuliani,"
right,
and it's because
exactly.
of the
yeah,
Pat
yeah,
Robertson just, endorsement that sealed it for me.
You just don't know who's going to pick up that phone during Christmas time.
Yeah, so Rudy got the Pat Robertson endorsement. Who's going to get endorsed by Ted Haggard?
I don't know. I think that's a valuable one. You know, people ought to be really really going after that one.
Yeah, and what about the Oral Roberts? Richard Roberts is now in charge of Oral Roberts University. He's got a little scandal brewing there where his wife loves to text message young male students late at night. We need more on that, Mike. Well, Mike, thanks a lot for talking with us today. It's always a pleasure.
It's always fun to come on, Peter. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. And go to openleft.com to read the ravings of Mike Lux. See where it takes you. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
All right. Take care. I clicked. And therefore, the music rolls. Coming up next, Scott Dick, our regular contributor on military and veterans issues, will join us. And a special guest, Kaj Larson from Current TV, will join us. We'll play the video, and you'll hear the audio of his waterboarding experience. It is really offensive. And we'll talk other military and veterans issues with Scott next hour, too. If you missed part of the Peter B. Collins Show, log on to peterbcollins.com and download our podcasts or audio files. It's easier than ever.
The superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A warning that catastrophe on an airport runway is only a matter of time. A downbeat report from the Fed.
Our assessment is for slower growth, but positive growth going into next year.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The National Transportation Safety Board has a collection of these tapes.
SkyWest 5741, hold.
Near misses on airport runways when planes come dangerously close to colliding.
The NTSB says the most serious problem facing aviation safety today is runway incursions. That's when two airplanes get too close to each other on a runway, either because one is taking off while the other one wants to land, they're passing by each other and clip wings.
CBS News transportation correspondent Nancy Korda says electronic warning systems are at the top of the safety board's most wanted list of safety improvements. Sandy Rowlett is an NTSB investigator.
We cannot continue to depend on the last-minute alertness of pilots and controllers who have helped avoid several runway incidents that could have been catastrophic. We need the extra protection of additional procedures and advanced technology to compensate for human mistakes.
Now this.
Sam's Club has cranberry pomegranate pork loin. Would that be good?
Oh, it's so good.
Why do you look like me?
I'm future you. And because of that pork loin, there are 10 very satisfied people in our living room.
But I only invited 5 people.
Word gets around.
Join us November 16th through the 18th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club. There are chef demonstrations, food samples, and party supplies. Sam's Club. Enjoy the possibilities. Join today to avoid the 10% service fee that applies to non-member purchases.
Ace Hardware was ranked highest in customer satisfaction among major home improvement stores by J.D. Power and Associates. To thank our customers, we're holding a thank you sale with 20% off almost everything you can fit in your thank you shopping bag. It's the thank you sale this Saturday only at Ace, the holiday helpful place. Participating stores only. Discount off regular price of in-store merchandise only. Additional conditions and some exclusions apply. See store for details. Limit one bag per customer. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
The stock market took another hit today when Ben Bernanke delivered the Federal Reserve's economic forecast on Capitol Hill. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The Fed chairman told Congress he doesn't know the odds of a recession, but thinks the economy will slow in coming months.
A reading consistent with the expected effects of higher energy prices, tighter credit,
and continuing weakness in housing.
Bernanke says there remains a lot of turmoil in credit markets and suggests more people are going to lose their homes to foreclosure as higher rates kick in on adjustable rate mortgages. On the good news front, Bernanke says the Fed thinks by next spring the housing market should finally bottom out and things should start getting better. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
At one point, the Dow was 200 points lower, but recovered to close at 13,266, a loss of just 33 points. Analyst Hugh Johnson sees a buying opportunity.
The market's gotten to a level that there are a lot of individual investors and hedge funds, active investors, that believe we've just become undervalued and have looked for some bargains and started to buy them.
Crude oil fell nearly a dollar to $95.46 a barrel. The weakening economy is pulling mortgage rates down. This week, Freddie Mac pegs the national average for a 30-year fixed-rate loan at 6.24%, the lowest level in 5 months. In Las Vegas,
this is the State of Nevada versus Orenthal James Simpson.
A court hearing today for O.J. Simpson and two co-defendants in that hotel room confrontation September 13th. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman was there.
The first witness called to the stand was Bruce Fromong, one of the sports memorabilia dealers confronted by O.J. Simpson and his entourage. Fromong said when Simpson and the others entered his hotel room, it was like a military invasion.
O.J. was screaming, "This is all my..." He kept using the word. "This is all my..." This all belongs to me. You guys stole this from me.
Fromong testified that two members of Simpson's entourage pulled guns. This hearing will last at least through tomorrow. The judge must decide if there's enough evidence to send the case to trial. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the county courthouse in Las Vegas.
CBS News confirms that Bernard Carrick, who was Rudy Giuliani's police commissioner on 9/11, has been indicted on federal corruption charges. He's expected to be arraigned tomorrow. On the waterboarding debate, a House panel heard today from Malcolm Nance, who used to teach Navy personnel how to survive being prisoners of war or terrorist hostages.
It should not be called waterboarding. That's just the device that we use and that torturers have used throughout history. It should be called the drowning torture.
It creates the sensation of drowning, and reportedly it's been used on some Al-Qaeda suspects. Congress is considering laws to ban waterboarding. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Today's a day to look ahead. This Friday and Saturday, it's the JCPenney Veterans Day sale. Get night and day doorbusters Friday, 5 p.m. till close, and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Take an extra 10% off our entire stock of women's outerwear, already 50% off. Plus, an extra 10% off all gold jewelry, already 65% off. The JCPenney Veterans Day sale. Go to jcp.com now to see everything on sale. And stop in. Stores open early Saturday, 8 a.m. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer ends November 10th.
Ace Hardware was ranked highest in customer satisfaction among major home improvement stores by J.D. Power & Associates. To thank our customers, we're holding a thank you sale with 20% off almost everything you can fit in your thank you shopping bag. It's the thank you sale this Saturday only at Ace, the holiday helpful place. Participating stores only. Discount off regular price of in-store merchandise only. Additional conditions and some exclusions apply. See store for details. Limit one bag per customer. For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit...
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show today. I would submit that becoming a captive, a detainee of the U.S. military or our CIA puts you right smack dab in the danger zone. Twilight, Every week about this time, we devote an hour to military and veterans issues. In just a moment, our regular contributor, Scott Dick, will join us. He, of course, started in the Marine Corps and then retired from the Army at the rank of major. And he provides us with commentary, explains to me how the Pentagon thinks, what those acronyms mean, and things like that. And we're also going to be joined this half hour by a special guest today. Kaj Larson is described as a vanguard journalist at Current TV. That, of course, is the television channel developed by Al Gore and others. And it's described as a global television network that gives young adults the opportunity to create and influence what airs on TV through its website, Current.com. And Current.com is where we're going to play a videotape here in just a couple of minutes that Kaj stars in. And he paid some guys, first he offered them $1,000 and then he cut it back to $800 just to make sure they'd be pissed enough to torture him. And what you see on the videotape is grisly and evidence of the clear fact that waterboarding is torture. And that's exactly what Michael Mukasey, who is on track to become the next attorney general, could not say. He could not utter that at his confirmation hearing. And in written follow-ups with key senators, he also could not commit to the idea that waterboarding is torture and thus illegal and unconstitutional in the United States. Scott Dick, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome, Peter. Always a pleasure.
Now, before we introduce Kaj, I just want to know if you have any experience with torture, either in your training in the military or in the hypothetical sense where you submitted to various torture techniques as a way to harden you in case you ever were subjected to that in a combat situation.
Well, the only real torture the Army ever subjected me to was 20 years of military food, Peter.
I see, the food. Uh-huh.
No, I was a tanker, so we did escape and evasion, and that was mostly hardening through deprivation of you know, food and water and warm things to sleep in at night.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't the kind of process where some of the special forces guys go through some real hardcore anti-terrorism, you know, capture training. I didn't do that.
Okay. Well, we're going to introduce Kaj, and we'll get comments from Scott along the way here. Kaj Larson, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, it's nice to talk with you. And number one, I'm glad you survived the episode that we're going to talk about here. Tell me why you decided to submit to waterboarding.
Well, in full disclosure, it was my second time being waterboarded. I was in the service, and as Scott mentioned earlier, as you know, all special forces operatives who deploy overseas go through this kind of training. So that was my first experience with waterboarding. The second time, when I did it for Current TV, I did it on national television because there's this strange debate going on, and everybody was lobbying their opinion around policymakers and pundits, but nobody had any real idea what was involved in the technique. Mm-hmm. So I did it as a public service so that the American public could judge this in the court of public opinion and render their verdict as to whether this was torture or not.
Well, you're a pretty brave guy because, you know, one little complication, a little too much water, a little too little air, and you could have, you know, serious brain damage or lung damage or other respiratory problems. And as we play the tape here, we'll hear one of your last requests before you submit. So we're going to listen to the audio track, and along the way, you'll be live here, Kaj. I'm going to describe some of the things that may not be obvious to people from listening to the audio, and if you want to pipe up, feel free to do so, okay?
Great.
And we'll play a couple of minutes of this. Again, you can find it at Current.com. That's the website of Current TV.
I contracted a group of professional, experienced Army SEER, ex-SEER instructors to waterboard me for $1,000. No, that's not true. I contracted them for $800. Originally, they asked $1,000, and I just couldn't bear the thought of paying somebody $1,000 to torture me. So I weaseled them down to $800, and I'm sure I'll pay the price for that in about 5 minutes here. Hey, Mitch, can you do me one more favor? Can you just ask Mike where the nearest hospital is, like sort of mission planning, safety, and the route to the hospital? Just supposed to be perfectly safe, but in case anything goes wrong.
So now some camo-equipped guys are hustling him into a basement. He's now blindfolded.
Back, making it that, so that their face.
Right,
is
we didn't have much plan
their...
beyond that.
Okay.
Really. Going to the hospital, knowing the route to the nearest hospital was really our only planning that we did because our goal was authenticity, or mm-hmm. as close as we could get to it,
yeah.
and transparency. That's why we had the full unedited version posted on current.com, as you mentioned earlier. So, again, that transparency was the key here because there wasn't a lot of transparency about this issue.
Indeed. So we're now in a basement. Kaj is in an orange jumpsuit. He has been blindfolded. His hands are secured behind his back. And one of his captors is now describing what they're about to do.
Chest, and we'll ask through the questioning, we'll force water into a wet rag. Every time the person breathes in, essentially they're breathing in moisture, and it starts to create the sensation of drowning, suffocation, and then the panic sets in.
So he's now being seated.
You're looking at the average person probably lasting somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 minutes or so once it actually starts happening.
So he's on a bench like you would use to lift weights. His hands are manacled actually in front of him at his waist. And very roughly, a washcloth or rag is being inserted into his mouth and a stream of water is being poured over it. Kaj, you look very uncomfortable at this point.
Well, it's a horrific feeling, Peter. I mean, there's no way to truly describe it, but, you know, the closest thing is sort of maybe being chained to the bottom of a pool because it really does induce the sensation of drowning.
Mm-hmm. So the clock is running now, and for about 20 seconds, he's been unable to breathe, and this wet cloth is in his mouth, and a fairly steady stream of water is being forced into his mouth as his nose is often being plugged or pinched shut. And they have a big bucket of water. They keep dipping the canteen and a little steel bowl into it as they pour it over his mouth and nose and kind of gratuitously on his chest now. And Kaj, of course, can't be heard. He might be trying to scream or do something, but you're completely immobilized and neutralized in this position. And I have to say, Kaj, this is too real. These guys are really aggressive in their treatment of you. Now, for the first time, they eased up, pulled the cloth out, and you got a chance to breathe. What was that first breath like, Kaj?
I mean, it's like coming up from the bottom of the ocean, but they're not a full breath. I mean, the guys that we hired were professional interrogators, so they knew exactly when to push on the accelerator and exactly when to throttle back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is something they were well-versed in.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to leave the rest of the video for people to look at themselves, go to Current TV. And what is the best search or way to access the video, Kaj?
Just literally log on to current.com, and you can, if it's not right there on the front page, you can type in waterboarding into the search bar, and you can watch the video. There'll also be a link, like I said, to the full unedited 24-minute version if that's your fancy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, again, the purpose was not to inject my own personal beliefs into the debate, but to allow the American people who should be judging this based on its efficacy and the morality of these techniques.
Yeah. Scott, would you like to make a comment here or ask a question?
Well, I have a question. Kaj, what was your training? Because you mentioned this is the second time. Did you do SEER? Is that the deal?
I did. I was a Navy SEAL officer for 5 years.
Okay, so that explains it.
Right.
Right. No, that's my question. The comment is, as everybody knows, anybody who's studied this, anybody who's taught the law of land warfare, and as an officer, you've done that, Kaj, I know, to your own guys. It's the Geneva Convention came about because of atrocities committed against military soldiers, and it's to waive those as part of the war on terror seems to be extremely short-sighted, to put it nicely.
Absolutely, and I mean, just on a very pragmatic reason, part of my rationale for the peace is that I still have friends overseas and deployed in nefarious places, and God forbid they were ever captured, right? I would hope that they would be held to Geneva Convention standards. That's very important to me as someone with friends and teammates overseas. But also in my current profession as a journalist for Current, I travel to these places. I've been to Mogadishu. I've been to Afghanistan. And while this is an American drama that's happening with Mukasey, It's playing on the world stage. And what we do here and the decisions that we reach with the Mukasey confirmation are going to have implications beyond whatever information we glean from waterboarding.
And Kaj, let me jump in here because I agree with you. And in shorthand, the Mukasey confirmation says to the world, we think that Guantanamo, we think that Abu Ghraib are all okay.
Exactly. And you see that, for me, I see that when I'm overseas in places like Afghanistan and Somalia, in how the people of those countries view the United States because of their policies and things, as you said, like Abu Ghraib or the Mukasey confirmation.
Yeah, we're going to take a break and return. Kaj Larson is with us. He's a Vanguard journalist at Current TV. Go to Current.com and search for waterboarding and watch this powerful video and understand for yourself that Judge Mukasey should have no problem clearly stating that waterboarding is torture and thus illegal and unconstitutional. But he can't, because he's a loyalist now to the Bush administration, and they call the shots. If you've got a question or comment, you can bring it on now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest. Starting off with a problem right now. Not a lot going on. What I can tell you is we do have one incident being reported in Monterey, southbound Highway 1 in Aguijito. It's a report of a small brush fire. It's on the right-hand shoulder. Looks like Monterey County Fire Department on the way to the scene there to put that blaze out. Again, not much of a blaze. It's a small brush fire on the right-hand shoulder, southbound one at Aguito. Checking Highway 17, northbound direction, excellent. Southbound direction, also the very same scenario there. Let's take a look at, eastbound 25. Slows in pockets from Gilroy into Hollister. Looking pretty good right now. Southbound Highway 1 between Monterey and Carmel. Eastbound 129. It looks pretty good right now between Watsonville and Aromas.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Among our guests tomorrow, Mark Klein. You don't know his name very well, but he's the whistleblower who exposed the illegal wiretapping and email intercepts facilitated by AT&T at the Big Switch in San Francisco. He'll be with us tomorrow here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture.
Yeah, they're telling you to never worry about the torture. Those are powerful, angry words from Michael Fronte and Spearhead. We continue with our regular contributor on military and veterans issues, Scott Dick, and we're joined by special guest Kaj Larson today. He's described as a vanguard journalist at Current TV. What exactly does that mean, Kaj?
Well, in the Vanguard department, we try and tell what's going on in the world and why. So we have a small group of elite journalists, most of us young, that travel around all over from places like Cambodia to Somalia to Afghanistan to figure out what's impacting our world.
And you're also a grad student at the JFK School at Harvard.
A former. I just received my master's from the Kennedy School.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Now, I want to come back to the whole subject of torture. The other night, I was watching the guy I call that little mother, Tucker Carlson, and he just flat out said that he believes that most Americans don't care about torture. And as long as it's not happening to them, and as long as they're led to believe that it's going to make them safer and cause some awful person to cough up critical information, just like on television on 24, then they're okay with it. Is that your experience? Do you think most Americans are blasé about this?
Well, I like Tucker's sense of fashion, and I like the bow tie, but I have to humbly disagree with his assessment of the American public. I have greater faith in the American public, and I'll simply tell you that my friend Michael Murphy, who just received the Congressional Medal of Honor posthumously, James Matt Axelson, killed in Afghanistan, they didn't die for a country that tortures people.
Well, I hear you. And I'm thinking of Phil Butler, who served longer in the Hanoi Hilton than John McCain did. He's a listener and a pacifist, a peace activist in Monterey. He's been on our program many times, and he described what it was like to be subjected to consistent torture over a very long period of time. And he said that the one thing that really helped them maintain in the most difficult, atrocious circumstance you can imagine was the knowledge that we don't do this to North Vietnamese at that time, Viet Cong, who were captured by the United States. And that is now lost. And I think that the people who say they support the troops and who harangue the Democrats who want to use curtailment of funding to change the policy and bring our troops home from Iraq as somehow, you know, weak or wussy, that this is cowardly. It's cowardly behavior that is presented as macho. Would you agree, Kaj?
Well, I'd say that there's a tendency to cast those people who are opposed to techniques like waterboarding as weak. But my suggestion to you, as I've traveled around the world and I've seen world opinion of the U.S., is that perhaps by blurring that line between torture and coercive interrogation, that actually is what makes us weak.
Mm-hmm. Scott, you want to jump in?
Well, because, you know, one of the things that makes Americans accepting of this is how the Geneva Convention is ignorance.
Peter, and a lack of understanding about how the Geneva Convention came about and why soldiers need to be protected once they're off the battlefield. And as a POW, you are definitely off the battlefield. And that there are rules of warfare. Believe it or not, not everything goes. The use of poison gas, for example, the use of torture, the use of slave labor, medical experiments, all of those things are prohibited and for a reason. And if you talk to the Allies, and I'm old enough to have had the pleasure of talking to some German POWs of the United States, they love this country, and one of the reasons they, almost to a person, everyone I've met, because of the way we treated them. And if you contrast that with the Soviet Union, which was hated by the average American because the German POWs did not go back to Germany. They were not repatriated till 1954, and they used slave labor. So this whole idea that somehow torture is going to make us a safer, better, stronger country and that we accept that is crazy, and it's based on ignorance. That's my sort of short take on that.
That's Scott Dick. He'll stay with us after the break. Kaj Larson, thank you for what you did, and thanks for joining us today to talk about it.
Thank you.
Great
to talk to you.
Current.com, and either look for the file on waterboarding or just enter that into the search window. Kaj Larson has been our guest. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up more with Scott Dick, we're going to talk about, is Al-Qaeda vanquished from Baghdad? That's what we've been told. We'll explore that next on the PBC show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Don't sweat the fanny pack. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. In the spirit of keeping you completely confused about what's healthy and what's not, I am delighted to report on the latest startling health study. The Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta studied the causes of death for people who are overweight, defined as being 30 pounds heavier than the ideal. And the researchers conclude that people who are overweight, listen closely, people who are overweight without being obese have a lower death rate than people who are underweight, and even have a lower death rate than people who are at normal weight. They surveyed 2.3 million American adults and found that in 2004, Americans who were merely overweight were about 40% less likely than normal weight people to die from a whole range of diseases and risks, including emphysema, pneumonia, Alzheimer's, injuries, and even cancer and heart disease. This came out yesterday, and my gosh, you would have thought they just denied global warming. Professor Walter Willett, who teaches nutrition at Harvard, was fuming, according to one news dispatch, and called it ludicrous. The American Cancer Society said they would stick to recommending people get thin. And the CDC admits overweight people do tend to die more from diabetes and kidney disease, but they do not seem to succumb as readily to many other illnesses, probably because they have what amounts to a built-in emergency feeding tube. Note, it is still bad to be obese. That does increase your chances of dying and of your belly being in a cutaway shot for the TV news. So in a way, I guess how fat you let yourself get depends on which disease you prefer to die from. Or you could just put a Chinese toy in your mouth. Notice.
Are you thinking about buying one of those inexpensive memory foam mattresses? Think again. Tempur-Pedic is the only mattress made from authentic Tempur material. The one that shapes and contours to your body, guaranteeing a restful, rejuvenating night's sleep. Those knockoffs don't even come close. Call Tempur-Pedic today at 1-800-805-3495, and they'll send you a free video, a sample of the proprietary Tempur material, and a 90-day trial certificate. You won't get that from those other guys. Tempur-Pedic is the real deal. Call 1-800-805-3495.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, The Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
All the world over, so easy to see. People everywhere just want to be free. Listen, people, listen, that's the way it should be. Deep in the valley, people got to be free.
Martial law is sweeping the world this week. Late last Saturday night, Pervez Musharraf declared emergency rule in Pakistan, sacked the Supreme Court, and the Bush administration has offered sage advice. Take off your army uniform and hold elections. But nobody said, hey, cancel the state of emergency. A couple of days later, in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, a hardliner and all their last names seem to end with Vili. Saskavili. He said, I want some martial law, too. And he blames Russian provocateurs. But people aren't really buying that. We continue now with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And Mike in Sacramento joins us. He's got a comment about our preceding segment. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air.
How's it going, Peter?
Just fine, thanks.
Kaj just made a point, you know, that two of the military casualties had not died for a country that tortures people. And I understand why he would like to believe otherwise, but in fact they did, which I think is sort of sad. But also I wanted to say that any thug on the street could tell you that the reason why gang members don't torture each other is because when you start doing that, it's a zero-sum game. If you do theirs, they'll do yours, and nobody wins. And then the other thing is, when I was a kid growing up...
Well, Mike, just stop there for a second.
Sure.
If gangbangers can understand that, and I'm not suggesting that gangbangers are all stupid, but if gangbangers can understand that, why is it that the top officials in the Bush administration, including some brilliant legal minds, have facilitated torture by redefining the term, by trying to stretch the laws, claiming that the Geneva Conventions are quaint, and, essentially trying to find every way to wiggle out of those standards that we possibly can?
Well, Peter, have you ever heard of the gang that couldn't shoot straight?
Yeah.
I think that's basically what we have. We have an ongoing criminal enterprise. And these thugs apparently don't seem to understand a zero-sum game, nor do they appear to care. But I remember watching shows when I was growing up where they would have, like, Nazis and various other people torturing people, and they were always the bad guys.
Right.
And now we're the bad guys.
All right, let's get
and that just breaks my heart.
Let's get a comment from Scott, and I know you have another point. We'll come back to you. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, it's true. It's if they can get it, then why can't our government? I think, Peter, what they are so bereft of any kind of intelligent ideas about how to fight possible terrorists based on political philosophy and the desire to make a big splash with a big bomb, that torture seems to be sort of one more tool in the toolbox that they're trying to just clench until, you know, because it makes no sense. We're supposed to be winning the global war on terror, and yet we embrace torture, waterboarding, because you never know, we might be torturing the knowledge and location of a backpack nuke someplace.
Yeah, I mean,
it's ridiculous on the assertion that, you know, most of this intel is all after the fact. It's not predictive. It's after the fact.
Right.
So it's kind of weird.
Well, and you know, from my point of view, I think that we should have a standard, and I would be willing to acknowledge that there may be very occasionally and quite rare exceptional circumstances. But we have not found a suspect who we know about, and there are many who are still in the gulag we don't know about, but we haven't yet been told about a suspect who really did have actionable information at the time that they were captured and tortured. And so we know Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who is now at Guantanamo, has been subjected to these enhanced interrogation techniques, a.k.a. torture. And he's admitted to everything, including things that he couldn't possibly have had any involvement in because he was locked up at the time they happened. And yet we continue to push this fantasy that, oh, gosh, we've got to have torture in the toolbox because these are people, you know, who don't care if they die, who want to take everybody with them. And so because of their, you know, suicidal outlook on life and jihad, that we have no choice but to be as barbaric or even more barbaric than they are. And frankly, you know, they have not given us an explicit scenario where that actually is rational.
And what the whole goal of terrorism is to undercut society's acceptance of the established government. And so as the government becomes more and more like the terrorist, the society becomes torn between supporting a terrorist and or an insurgent and the established government. It's a fact. It's a way people react. And so as civil liberties are undercut and things like waterboarding, torture as become approved, the weaker our government becomes. It doesn't become stronger. And that's another thing that Americans just don't get. And Mao Zedong wrote a book, The Little Red Book. It was the classic tome textbook for how to conduct an insurgency. And the Al-Qaeda is probably reading off chapter and verse out of that book. And we're just our government, Bush and his Cheney, never served a day in uniform. They're being, the terrorists really are winning the propaganda war. They're running circles, intellectual circles around these guys, that waterboarding is the best that this nation can do to combat the players in this global war on terrorism.
Yeah, Mike,
which I might add is like conducting an attack on the night attack.
Right, or on knife attacks.
Yeah.
Mike, you had another comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say that we are really living in fantasy land. If we can go out there and tell other countries, you better not torture our guys and think that they're not going to do it and think that we have any credibility left. When we have a president that got up yesterday and told Musharraf, hey, you know, you better believe in democratic elections and you also got to take the uniform off because we can't have a guy that's the president and the head of the military. And all of this from a guy, you know, that tells us every day, I'm the commander-in-chief, I'm in charge of everything, and he also has stolen the last two elections. You know, so the rest of the world is looking at us like, have you lost your mind?
Yeah.
Or do you just think that we're so stupid, or do you think we're as stupid as you are?
Yeah, very well put. Mike, thanks for your call today.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate that. Scott, one other point I'd like to make here is that the Bush administration has tried to use massive military force against guerrillas, terrorists, and others who are using asymmetrical techniques against us. And they don't seem to, and even many Democrats don't find it enough to criticize, that they don't see just how, you know, incorrect the strategy is for the specific circumstances we're confronting.
Well, and I would disagree with you, Peter. They didn't use maximum force. They used minimum force, and really to our own detriment. We did not control the terrain. Either you have to kill the enemy combatant or you have to control the terrain.
Mm-hmm.
And even with the surge, it's been not enough. I said last year on the show that if we're going to do the surge, it needs to be like 250,000, 300,000, a number never acceptable to the administration because, well, I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah,
because maybe if they won, then there'd be no more fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question, and they're so intellectually weak. There's a bunch of smart thinkers there, believe it or not. in the Department of Defense, they're probably going crazy. Well, a lot of them have left the service, and because none of their ideas are being implemented. And I want to say this about what Kaj was saying. We talk about the all-volunteer military. Many of these people, it is the employer of last resort. That's true. But many other people are idealists, and they look at the United States as the bastion of freedom and democracy, and they really serve as a way to defend against bullies on the planet and to protect the nation from bad guys. When we become the bad guys, those people are going to go away. They'll go away in droves. They'll go away in with just like Kaj, and what will be left are the Blackwater. The guys are not even suitable for Blackwater, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the Army is carefully looking at criminal waivers to see how far they can go to get more waivers approved for more people that have had criminal backgrounds to serve in the military.
Yeah. Now, I take your point about that we needed more troops in Iraq. What I was trying to say is that using large-scale military forces against guerrillas and terrorists is not that effective, and that, you know, we have diverted our attention into Iraq when, of course, we never captured Osama and really decapitated al-Qaeda. And I don't believe you can do that simply by using air assets and putting a lot of troops on the ground. It takes a much more strategic approach, a more special forces approach, than the idea of battalion after battalion being deployed into Iraq.
Well, Afghanistan is a finesse operation in Iraq as well. And there's been nothing past the first 6 months of the war in Afghanistan that's been had any kind of finesse. And now we're dropping 2,000-pound bombs on villages in Afghanistan, hoping to kill the right guys.
Yeah. Scott, do you realize there's more than one guy named Mike in Sacramento?
No. I thought, is he just calling back?
No, it's another Mike. Mike, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, and say hello to Scott Dick.
Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Mike.
Oh, good. The one thing that I'd like to say is I'd like to see this administration step up and do something about what they truly believe in. I expect to see presidential pardons for the Japanese soldiers tried and convicted for waterboarding Americans. I expect to see the American soldiers in Vietnam that were court-martialed for waterboarding the Viet Cong. There was a picture on one of the websites I was looking at showing it happen and saying that they were convicted. He needs to give them pardons because they were just doing something he said was okay to do. And he also ought to look John McCain straight in the eye and say, gee, sorry about your arms and everything, but the North Vietnamese were just doing what they thought they needed to do to protect their people.
All right, Mike, you said it well. Thank you very much. Now to Steve and Salinas. Hi, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon. I think I know why Bush and Cheney are doing all this torturing. It's because they're sadistic. They enjoy it. I mean, think about Carla Faye Tucker and laughing at her. They enjoy it when people suffer, and they have not done anything to disavow that. They enjoy it.
Well, Steve, I I don't have any love for either Bush or Cheney. I don't hate either one of them. I'll volunteer that. But I'm not quite willing to say that they get pleasure out of it. I think that they are self-righteous individuals who believe that, as Cheney said shortly after 9/11, that you've got to embrace the dark side in order to take on these difficult characters.
Well, what about Carla Faye Tucker?
Well, Cheney wasn't involved with that, so let's separate him. And that, I think, is an episode that defiles whatever you might think of Alberto Gonzalez and George W. Bush. Yes, it's an ugly, ugly incident.
As far as compassionate conservatism, that's an oxymoron, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Steve, anything you want to add?
No, that should do it.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's take a break, and then we're going to return and talk about some recent developments in Iraq. The U.S. military trying to tell us that things are getting better, Iraqis are returning, and that al-Qaeda has been vanquished from Baghdad. Get a load of that. We'll continue in a moment. You can call in toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, we invite you to listen to a very special show. NBC 11's chief meteorologist, John Farley, will be on the show to promote his Turkey Holiday Food Drive that takes place on Saturday, November 17th at all Bay Area and Uphill Foods, Raley's, and Food Source locations. Let's help John Farley and the Bay Area Kiwanis collect food and money to benefit local food banks all over the Bay. For more information, call 408-892-3376. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American-made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombi has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombi's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Malrose, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria. Click on joerombi.com or call 831-373-2416. Or for pizza, call 373-0129.
All right, folks, time to take a look at traffic as we do on a daily basis. And, we checked in. Let's check in right now. We did have a problem earlier, and it was in Campbell, southbound 17 between Hamilton Avenue and Bear Creek. What I can tell you, very slow traffic being reported in that area. Also want to take a look at Romas, northbound 101 at San Juan Road, getting word of an accident there. Apparently this is a box truck in the center divide there. It looks like it hit the center divide. And taking a look at King City, northbound 101 at Broadway Street, we have tire tread in both northbound lanes. CHP is on the scene. In fact, they're trying to run a traffic brake to actually clear it off the roadway. And this report is brought to you by Crystal Geyser Water.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I feel compelled to remind you that the big guy with the OxyContin problem doesn't own this song. I'm reclaiming it for the rest of us. It's Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders, called My City Was Gone. Scott Dick continues with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And, Scott, a couple of comments, but first of all, do you know who Major General Joseph Phil is, F-I-L?
No, never heard of him.
Well, he is described as the commander of U.S. troops in Baghdad. And he's made news over the last couple of days, first by saying that refugees are returning to Iraq. He said that some 46,000 people have returned to Baghdad in the last couple of months because the surge is working and things are settling down. He also is now quoted as saying that Al-Qaeda has been booted out of Baghdad. The quote here, he said, American forces have routed Al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia, that is the Iraqi military, a militant network, from every neighborhood in Baghdad, a top American general said, allowing American troops involved in the surge to depart as planned. Now, I find this curious in a couple of ways. First of all, when it comes to refugees, the Bush administration and the American media have largely turned a blind eye to the fact that some 4 million people have been displaced, roughly half inside Iraq and others who have left the country. And this has created a great burden on neighbors like Jordan and Syria. And we only now have acknowledged the refugees as a way of saying that they're coming back and that this is a sign that our policies and practices are working. Likewise, they are now bragging about a decline over the last 3 months in both U.S. military casualties and loss of life by Iraqis. Now, I'm not going to quibble with the stats about Americans. They appear to be accurate, and I don't have any way of disproving that. But European newspapers and other media sources have challenged the numbers that the U.S. has used to try to assert that because of the surge, fewer Iraqis are dying in the last 3 months. That said, again, we never counted Iraqi deaths or acknowledged them officially from the Pentagon until it became advantageous to do so in order to say that fewer people are dying.
Well, I find I have a problem with this cause and effect. 46,000 is the drop in the bucket, and it may be just this completely. It may be the success of ethnic cleansing going on in the neighborhood.
Right.
That Shias are moving into previously Sunni areas, and there's some room for folks. But that doesn't mean anything. And the idea that I hope they cleared his he got clearance for his comments that they've routed
Al-Qaeda
from Mesopotamia.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing thing to say.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
Yeah, and I'm surprised at the timing, because I would think that they would say that in May, June next year as it gets closer to the election. Because if they declare victory now, this is going to be tough to resell in 08.
Well, I'm quite doubtful. Again, I don't challenge that American casualties have declined over the last 3 months. But when you put it into context, the last 12 months have seen the largest loss of American lives since we invaded in March of 2003.
And Peter, here's something to consider, folks. Just because there's been fewer casualties, and I welcome fewer American casualties, I'd like to see zero casualties in Iraq.
You bet.
We've had major changes in tactics. One of them is, like, the helicopters basically don't fly during the day, for example. They fly at night, and they use all the techniques possible to avoid being seen, because if you can be seen, you can be shot. I mean, that's an accident in the military. So we've changed our tactics. We've accelerated the shipping of MRAPs.
Mm-hmm.
MRAPs are very effective, and if we can trace a serious decline in American casualties to the field in MRAPs, that makes Rumsfeld and all the guys from 05 and 06, it makes them look even worse.
Yeah, you're right about that. It's like the way they tried to blame John Kerry that they had not sent adequate protective vests with our troops in the first place.
It's disgusting. It's totally disgusting the way this administration claims to support the troops. And, you know, Bush just threatened to veto the big veteran spending bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole idea that somehow the surge is, I think, probably MRAP and different tactics, has resulted in fewer casualties.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as dangerous out there.
Well, the other major factor is that Muqtada al-Sadr has told his people that there's a ceasefire underway, and he can change that at any moment. And likely when he sees large troop movements headed for Kuwait, that's probably about the time he'll give the high sign. Scott, I wanted to turn to one other subject, because you and I talked about this off the air a day or so ago. And I want to be very clear that this is a report that we don't find credible, but I think it's important to air it out here for our listeners. And this relates to the September 6th air raid on a Syrian facility that has widely been alleged in the American media, without any proof, to have been a nuclear site of some sort. And now we have a story from the Jerusalem Post saying that that air raid was actually carried out by the U.S. Air Force, and they cite Al Jazeera's website as the source of the story. Al Jazeera quoted Israeli and Arab sources as saying that two U.S. jets armed with tactical nuclear weapons carried out an attack on this suspected nuclear site in Syria under construction. And the sources were quoted as saying that Israeli F-15 and F-16 jets provided cover for the U.S. planes. Now, tell me why you don't believe this story.
Well, first of all, tactical nuclear weapons, they leave enough residue that it would be very easy, very simple to just go and show that it was a tactical nuke. It makes a big bang, first of all, and is a very distinctive bang, and then it leaves residue. I would find it very surprising the Syrians would sit on this. But if somebody dropped a tactical nuke on any country that there wouldn't be major outrage. So the idea that the Syrians had covered it up is amazing. The fact that the Israelis who've been blamed for the attack are now saying that the Americans did it, I think, is just smoke and mirrors. And there was a part of that that you didn't talk about today, but with Turkey, apparently the Israelis apologized to Turkey for overflying their airspace when they were flying cover for the tactical nuke drop.
Mm-hmm.
So why, if I was going to put a tactical nuke on a stealth bomber or a stealth fighter, why would I tell the Israelis and need them to fly cover? From what foreign aircraft would the Israeli jets, F-15s and F-4s, which is an ancient mobile, why would I have them following around one of the most sophisticated aircraft in the planet I don't get it. In other words, mm-hmm. we have stealth weapons used to drop in nukes, and we have non-stealth airplanes flying cover. That's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous assertion just on the front. So then the idea that we would strap a nuke to a non-stealth vehicle is crazy, too. So they cobbled a bunch together. They're playing into, which is fairly well-known Arab paranoia, and then they're cobbling together bits and pieces of information, and they're putting it into a news story that is probably not worth the paper that it's printed on.
Well, and Scott, they're also taking advantage of the silence of all governments involved. Nobody's really offering any substantive details, and thus speculators and conspiracy theorist types can have a field day with it. Scott, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Peter. It's always a pleasure.
Mine too. Scott Dick here. Coming up next, the Free Speech Zone. If you're on the line, stay there. We'll talk to you.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. O.J. Simpson once again is seated at a defense table. There's a court hearing in Las Vegas on whether there's enough evidence to charge him in that hotel room confrontation 2 months ago. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is there and joins us live. Steve?
O.J. Simpson and his entourage confronted two sports memorabilia dealers. The witnesses, one of the memorabilia dealers, and Thomas Riccio, the man who helped Simpson organize the confrontation. Riccio described guns being drawn of yelling and screaming.
Everybody was yelling. You think O.J. was, like, really, really mad. He seemed to sort of know these guys.
Riccio said he never thought there would be weapons. Other witnesses are expected to testify later that Simpson specifically asked that weapons be brought to the hotel. Live at the county courthouse in Las Vegas, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Before the evening's over, Michael Mukasey could be confirmed as Attorney General. The Senate's debating the nomination right now. Mukasey barely got through the Judiciary Committee when he refused to take a position on the interrogation technique known as waterboarding, but he promised that if Congress bans the practice, he would enforce the law. There's a move on Capitol Hill to do just that. The National Transportation Safety Board has a wish list of airport safety improvements, and at the very top of that list are electronic systems and other measures to prevent accidents on runways. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports some things are already being done.
This fall, the FAA began making quicker fixes, better runway markings at more than 200 airports.
We're getting good results. Like anything, there's no one big silver bullet. It's paint on taxiways, it's signage at certain airports.
Still, the NTSB isn't satisfied. It points out the deadliest accident in aviation history was a runway incursion. 30 years ago in Tenerife, Spain, two 747s collided. killing nearly 600 people.
NTSB Chairman Mark Rosinger says the technology exists to make runways safer, and it's time to do something about it before there's a catastrophic accident. Big mess in San Francisco Bay. CBS News correspondent John Blackstone reports a cargo ship struck the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge and spilled 58,000 gallons of oil.
The Coast Guard calls this a medium-sized spill, but in San Francisco Bay, it's a big spill. The bay is very environmentally sensitive. It's home to a rich array of wildlife, particularly bird life, and the wetlands here are important for that.
Some oil-coated birds have already been found. The Coast Guard has put out containment booms and says it's recovered about 8,000 gallons so far. There's a large-scale animal rescue operation in southwest Virginia where the owner of a puppy mill is surrendering nearly 1,000 dogs. Local officials say more than 100 volunteers have pitched in, and PetSmart has donated a tractor-trailer load of supplies. The owner of Horton's pups could be charged with animal cruelty. The Dow, 33 points lower at the end of the day. The Nasdaq lost 52. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You know, most people look at vacuum cleaners simply as a way to clean their homes. I look at them to do so much more, namely to attack bacteria, mold, mildew, and odors, even when they're turned off. Try my new Orrick XL Ultra with IntelliShield technology. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. And get protection beyond clean.
Ace Hardware was ranked highest in customer satisfaction among major home improvement stores by J.D. Power and Associates. To thank our customers, we're holding a thank you sale with 20% off almost everything you can fit in your thank you shopping bag. It's the thank you sale this Saturday only at Ace, the holiday helpful place. Participating stores only. Discount off regular price of in-store merchandise only. Additional conditions and some exclusions apply. See store for details. Limit one bag per customer. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
Republican leaders in New Hampshire, Florida, South Carolina, Michigan, and Wyoming say they will not be deterred. The national GOP has excluded half their delegates from next summer's convention because they've scheduled primaries in January in violation of party rules. Dark horse presidential hopeful Ron Paul stunned fellow Republicans with his internet fundraising, but as CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv explains, he won't be able to keep all of it.
A bank in Texas called customers, including Christine Horton, to ask if $5 charges on their credit cards really were contributions to the Ron Paul campaign.
I had never even heard of him.
Identity thieves in Europe tested stolen card data by donating a total $3,000 to the Paul campaign.
We are in the process of refunding that money.
A campaign spokesman noting that's a small part of the $4 million raised through Paul's website in just one day this week. Dan Raviv, CBS News.
And I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Sam's Club has cranberry pomegranate pork loin. Would that be good?
Oh, it's so good.
Why do you look like me?
I'm future you. And because of that pork loin, there are 10 very satisfied people in our living room.
But I only invited 5 people. Word gets around.
Join us November 16th through the 18th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club. There are chef demonstrations, food samples, and party supplies. Sam's Club. Enjoy the possibilities. Join today to avoid the 10% service fee that applies to non-member purchases.
Ace Hardware was ranked highest in customer satisfaction among major home improvement stores by J.D. Power and Associates. To thank our customers, we're holding a thank you sale with 20% off almost everything you can fit in your thank you shopping bag. It's the thank you sale this Saturday only at Ace, the holiday helpful place. Participating stores only. Discount off regular price of in-store merchandise only. Additional conditions and some exclusions apply. See store for details. Limit one bag per customer. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, would you lend me your voice? I'll lend you my ear. This is the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. You know the rules? Any subject, any viewpoint. Call me from anywhere within the sound of my voice. including our online listeners across the country and around the world. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. Or 888-5-PETER-B. I've got a couple of lines open. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And for our listeners in Portland, Oregon, on 620 KPOJ, I welcome your comments by email. You hear the show on Saturday and Sunday, and I'm delighted to be on in Portland and welcome your feedback, comments, criticisms, ideas for guests and topics. So feel free to drop me a note, Peter at peterbcollins.com, humble host at peterbcollins.com, or if you're not on the same page with me, try full of it at peterbcollins.com. No rant to start off the hour because we got callers here and some have been holding for a while. First up, Marianne in Pacific Grove. Hello, Marianne.
Hello, loudmouth.
You know all my emails, don't you?
Yeah. I called about, you know, torture, my favorite subject, right?
Yeah.
And didn't we have a rather quiet deal with the Soviet Union for years that if they defected, we wouldn't torture them? And that was where our policy about no torture came from?
Well, I don't know that that's where the policy came from, but I think the first part of your comment is correct. Let me just defer. If there are any experts there at the Naval Postgraduate School, or maybe you're attending the language school there in Monterey, feel free to correct the record. But I think you're right, Marianne.
Yeah. I am going to hear Phil Butler next weekend. We're doing a teach-in, which will be fun, and he is speaking.
Give Phil my regards. I just have the highest respect for him.
Isn't he a great man?
He really is. Yeah,
just a great man. Anyway, well, that was about all I had, is just this rings a bell that we agreed with the Soviet Union. We won't torture you if you come over. Now we just buy them, of course.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Marianne.
Okay, that's all I got.
Very good. Ryan in Eureka, you're next here in the Free Speech Zone. Go right ahead.
Hi, Peter. Good to talk to you. I really enjoy your show. I've been listening to it a lot. I want to make three points, and I'll try and be real brief. The first is the Bush administration and the neocons are sociopaths. And I don't know if you've ever met a sociopath. I mean, they're clinically sociopathic. They have no ability to feel what other people go through.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can't feel what the Iraqi people are feeling, or they don't care. They're incapable of doing that.
Well, so, I think you're right, and the sociopathic syndrome, if you will, is driven by a series of factors. One is an incredible self-righteousness.
Right.
The other is a sense of entitlement, that
right.
These are people who think they're better than almost anybody in the world.
Exactly.
And that they can make these decisions that are, you know, raw power grabs that favor the wealthiest and the most corrupt in the world and sell it to us as keeping us safe. You ever hang out at a swimming pool in the summertime and a bully comes up against a smaller person and gets ready to throw him in the pool, right? They push him just to the edge and then they pull him back and say, "See, I saved your life."
Right, exactly. Well, and that's my second point is, you know, this whole idea that the Democrats are trying to work with the Republicans, the Republicans have declared war on the Democrats, except the Democrats they didn't get that.
Yeah.
I mean, they've written it down. I think it was Grover Norquist who said, "I don't want to beat the Democrats, I want to drown them in a swimming pool."
Well, that's not quite correct, but the sentiment was there, but that's not the right quote.
Okay, well, but the sentiment, it's the idea that counts, you know. The Republicans feel that they're right. It's not right or left, it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
And they are unwilling to compromise on anything. I mean, look at gay marriage and abortions. They will never give up their opinions on this. And I don't mean all Republicans, but I'm talking about the Republicans who are controlling our government right now.
Right. They also don't believe in real democracy.
Exactly.
And they're not willing to submit their point of view to a test of the will of the people. They want to impose it on us and pretend that they represent the majority.
Exactly.
And this occurred ever since Bush was elected by the 5-4 margin at Daddy's Supreme Court,
right,
and then claimed that he had won by a landslide and tried to govern that way. If he had presented in 2001 as a, you know, somebody who was trying to build consensus and trying to govern to some extent in a bipartisan manner, things would be much different today. But he has been grabbing every bit of power he could, strangling the Democrats at every opportunity. And you're right that they don't get it, and they keep fighting back in a very polite way, using these very genteel approaches in far too many cases, and they get snookered, and they lose.
Every single time.
And they
time.
Sell us out on a regular basis.
Every single time, yep. And my third point is, and this is the hardest part, but the terrorists, we have become the terrorists. The Pentagon and the NSA have been fighting a war on terrorism, not calling it that, but that's what's been going on since the 1950s. The whole military-industrial complex that we were warned about has happened. I mean, you know, we spend $10 million a year trying to overthrow Cuba. Now, I don't personally care who's running Cuba. It does not affect me at all. That's a ton of money that gets wasted, and that's just one country. I saw a report on Democracy Now! not too long ago that the CIA has overthrown a democratically elected government since its inception. And some years it got two elected governments in a year. It's crazy that we're going around preaching democracy and that our enemy are the terrorists when, you know, we're housing terrorists in Florida that blew up planes with the Cuban, I forget, they were, it wasn't hockey, but or fencing, it was some sports team.
You're not thinking of the toboggan team. That's from a movie, right?
No. No, he's living in Florida. They're trying, Venezuela wants to have him extradited.
Oh, I know who you mean. Yeah, he's a terrorist.
Right, he's a terrorist, mm-hmm. But he's our terrorist.
Yeah, because he was created
at the School of Americas,
right.
Which has funneled tons, millions of dollars, probably billions at this point, and weapons and trained the worst of humanity to kill innocent people all throughout South America. I mean, and you can't forget, we created Osama bin Laden. He was our guy.
Yep.
We trained him everything he knows.
Right.
Same thing with Saddam Hussein.
Ryan, I'm a little concerned. You know too much.
Yeah, I know.
And Homeland Security will be coming over to neuralize you. You remember
right,
that?
Right.
From...
Trust me. I do worry about that.
Thanks a lot for your call, and I appreciate
thank
your
you.
Listening
Keep
to
up
the
fight.
Show. Okay, great. More of your calls here in just a second. I just wanted to toss out another couple of topics, and I want to ask our listeners in Southern Oregon to chime in on this issue. Voters in Oregon this week rejected a ballot initiative that was going to pay for children's health insurance by adding an 85-cent per pack tax to cigarettes. And I'd like to hear from people who listen to this program and who voted against this ballot measure. The New York Times has an editorial slamming Oregon Today for rejecting this and blaming Big Tobacco for a shameless advertising campaign. Maybe that's the case. But I happen to think that even non-smokers have reached the point that they don't want to impose more sin taxes on a minority of Americans who are addicted to a product that so far is still legal. So I'd like to hear your thoughts about that. And also on the smoking subject, news today from Orlando that there is now a shot that robs smokers of the nicotine buzz from cigarettes and helps break the cycle of addiction. In a study, people given 5 of the shots stopped smoking more than twice as often as those given the placebo. That is about 15% versus 6% after a year. So there's another way for people to try to get off the nicotine habit. Let me know what you think of that, particularly if you're a smoker. Janet's next from Sacramento. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good evening, Peter. First, I want to tell you how informative I find your show, you, your guests. I never miss your show if I can possibly help it.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that, and let me just tell you that I learn a lot here, too.
Well, good. Then it's a two-way street here, which I very much enjoy. I was hoping that I would catch Mr. Rice when he was on, but you talk to him frequently. you talk to all kinds of news people, and I would like to know if there is a news person out there who would have the nerve when they would be attending a press conference, either Bush or Cheney, or the both of them together would be nice, and ask them, at what point, at what number is the loss of American life no longer worth this idiotic guerrilla war that we're fighting?
Mm-hmm.
We killed over 50,000 Americans in Vietnam, and for what? Guerrilla wars cannot be won. The American Revolution was a guerrilla war. Guess what? The guerrillas won. The United States was established.
Yeah.
The Soviet Union spent itself broke and thus fell apart trying to fight a guerrilla war in Afghanistan. We lost over 50,000 in Vietnam. We didn't win that one.
And Janet, more than half of those who died in Vietnam died after we knew it was over.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's got to be a number. I mean, we're up to 4,000 now in Iraq. There's got to be a number that somebody says, okay, at this point, we've had enough, we're tossing in the towel. Is there a news person out there that would have the nerve to ask Bush or Cheney, okay, how many is unacceptable?
Yes.
20,000? 30,000? 50? What's your number? There's got to be a number.
Janet, the answer to your question is yes. There's one news person in Washington who I think would ask that question. Her name is Helen Thomas. Unfortunately.
Oh, I love her.
She's been moved to the back of the room, and the president never calls on her anymore.
That's true. That's true. Well, you know, she's one of those questy old broads that knows what's going on.
Yep. She asks far too many questions. Thank you, Janet.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Great to talk with you. Got a couple of lines open. Join the conversation here in the Free Speech Zone. It's your hour here on the PBC show. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Oregonians, tell me why you rejected the tobacco tax. I'm curious. I'm Peter B. Collins. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Well, let's give you a little prevention for traffic problems. Actually, to be honest with you folks, it's been a relatively quiet afternoon. Just a couple of problems. First of all, we're going to start off in Santa Cruz. It looks like Highway 1 southbound at 17. Highway 1 southbound at 17. We have a car out of gas blocking lane. CHP already on scene. Campbell was southbound 17 between Hamilton Avenue and Bear Creek Road. It is slow. And taking a look at Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Eveline, the off-ramp closed until the summer of 2008, the reason the construction. Eastbound 25, slow and go out of Gilroy into Hollister. Looking at southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel, slow in pockets, but not to get too worried about that situation. Meanwhile, this report is brought to you by Panasonic. Bring back family time. Come see Panasonic's latest high-definition products and the world's largest plasma television.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking your calls toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. I've got the question out for Oregonians. Tell me why you rejected the tobacco tax that would have paid for children's health insurance across your state. And I'm also curious if you noted that Pat Robertson has endorsed Rudy Giuliani. But what about some of the other evangelicals? Who's going to get the Ted Haggard endorsement? And what about that wacky Fred Phelps from Topeka? Can't you imagine Fred Thompson and the guys lined up out the door saying, hey, come on, I want the endorsement of the God Hates Fags guy. Any other favorite evangelicals you'd like to pair up with a Republican candidate? Feel free to use your imagination. Give us a call. It's 888-573-8372. Also, I mentioned last hour that martial law is getting more and more popular. Pakistan, the Republic of Georgia and the former Soviet Union. And you can just imagine that George W. Bush is jealous. He'd take off that military uniform, wouldn't he? If he could get 5 more years of power. And while Bush wouldn't invoke emergency powers to fire the Supreme Court that put him into office and continues to protect his power grabs, maybe he'd like to just lock up all the Democrats. Little emergency order would be fun for that, wouldn't it? Michael T. is calling in from Sacramento, listening to 1240 Talk City. Hello, Michael. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks a lot, Paul.
I'm Peter.
Oh, I'm sorry, Peter. I apologize.
That's all right. Yeah, you can.
You were talking about Americans, so I wanted to talk to you.
All right. You can rob from Paul to pay Peter. I'll take it.
Okay. Thank you. Hey, I had a couple questions. One question is, I had a guy, I took him to Berkeley. He went into the Berkeley records office there, no ID, no kind of form of identification, not a paperwork at all, and he received a birth certificate. That was pretty strange to me after 9/11 and after all the things that are going on in the United States and the world today. It was truly him. I mean, it was really his birth certificate, but it just surprised me that it was that easy to walk into Berkeley, into the records office, and get a birth certificate. It just really surprised me.
Well, don't you think he had to know some information, like, you know,
well,
his mother's...
Sure, he knew his mother's name and, you know, the right answers.
But, yeah.
You know, you could go to a place where someone had died and look up the records and probably get those right answers. Wouldn't you think so?
Well, you're right. I mean, there's certainly ways that if you wanted to steal somebody's identity,
sure,
that you could get the baseline information on who their parents were, the date that they were born, and the city where they were born. A lot of that information is in open files online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And my second question was, because of finances, taxes, you're a taxpayer, and I was at a meeting in San Quentin State Prison yesterday for a few hours, and it was about recidivism and the 87% recidivism rate they have with prisoners,
right,
and how much money. They're spending $40,000 a year to keep an inmate locked up. When the inmate leaves the prison, they give them $200 to go out and make a life, which is impossible,
yeah,
but they're not spending any money to help them stay out. What do you think about that?
Well, Michael, first of all, I don't know exactly why you were at San Quentin, but I've made many visits there myself, and I appreciate your interest and, you know, your involvement in the corrections department. It's a huge mess, and there are a lot of lives that get sloughed off or just lost in the whole process. Our parole system is a huge disgrace. We Right. do not put enough money or personnel into this process. We do not provide recently released inmates with any kind of a path to training or rehabilitation, drug programs, reentry, transition. And I was just talking with a guy today who's an attorney who's represented some people at San Quentin, and he was laughing in an ironic way about this one guy who was in San Quentin for 5 to 7 years, and he was lucky because he got some training as a typewriter repairman.
Right.
Now, that's like turning somebody into an expert on Edsel's or Hudson's or, and so it's sad that we have almost 160,000, it's actually a little more than that, men.
73,000.
Yep, locked up in California.
Yes.
And it is a revolving door because many of those people, most of them will be released at some point. And we have made very little effort, other than Arnold Schwarzenegger renaming the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. We don't invest in the kind of programs that might help them. And part of that is that the public's attitude is that people should only go to jail to be punished.
Right, I understand that. But they're coming out. The thing is, they're coming out in droves. And when they come out, if they have nowhere to go and nothing to do, they're going to recidivize and commit more crime.
Yeah.
If I send you a book, would you read it?
Sure. Hold on, and Brian will give you a mailing address, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
All right.
Appreciate
thanks for calling the program. That's what I appreciate, Michael. And thanks for caring about our prison system. That's rare and kind of special to me. Lines are open if you want to join us, the Free Speech Zone, 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden.
and we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Want more energy and protection from disease? U.S. Wellness Meats have an ideal omega-3 to 6 ratio, are 2 to 4 times more plentiful in vitamins A and E than grain-fed beef, have one-third fewer calories, and can slow or even halt diabetes. We have been featured for our exceptional taste in Food and Wine magazine and in the New York Times. We are meat that matters to your health, enjoyment, and to our ecology. U.S. Wellness Meats, 1-877-383-0051 or online at www.uswellnessmeats.com. That's 1-877-383-0051.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. 33 minutes after the hour, the switchboard's jammed. We're taking your calls in the free speed zone here at 888-5, Peter B. And let me get the right fader up here. Rob in Sacramento, you're absolutely next. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening. Thanks for getting me on, and yeah. You're going to thank me, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Yes, let's see. In answer to the one question, I'm not George Bush, but how many's too many? My answer is one.
Okay.
Which isn't why I called.
Yeah, anyway. We've passed that. We're just running up to 3,850 official U.S. fatalities in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah, I'm afraid I digress a bit on this one, but my wife and I, when that was all going on in the build-up to the war, we were opposed to that. We didn't, too busy raising children, I guess, to go out and march ourselves, but we'd see the people and honk and thumbs up. It's like, they didn't attack us. Why are we starting a war with them? But why I called.
Yes.
Yes, the torture business. I'm going to flog that dead horse for a while. The Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment. Why are we having a debate about torture? Why is this up for discussion? When I look at the Bill of Rights, it repeatedly uses the phrase, I believe, person or persons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they want to make people into unpersons? What's going on?
Rob, you're just too damn literal. I mean, have you heard the quote from Bush that the Constitution is just a goddamn piece of paper?
I have heard that.
And he swore to defend and uphold it, but he says that keeping the American people safe, from his point of view, is more important than honoring his oath to the Constitution.
Well, it's in addition to being a piece of paper, you can also go review it online, usconstitution.net. I don't have it memorized, so I went there and peeked around the other day. You know, it's funny, as you look over those amendments 1 through 10, they kind of mirror something else. The Declaration of Independence, the list of grievances on that document,
yeah.
It's almost like amendments 1 through 10 are the antidotes to those. Our government shall not be allowed to do this and this and this. We don't want to go through this again. Yet here we are.
Yeah. Rob, I encourage you, if you can, to listen tomorrow, Friday, in our 4 o'clock hour Pacific time. Barbara Olshansky.
Oh, okay.
Barbara Olshansky will be our guest. She formerly was an attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights. She's now teaching at Stanford. And she's written a powerful book that examines the legal issues. And there is no wiggle room whatsoever. Even with the way the Bybee memo and John Yoo's memoranda try to redefine torture and try to expand the attribution of presidential powers, it doesn't stack up. And they are still in violation of the law. And that's something that may not be resolved during this presidency. But I'd sure love to see a lot of post-presidential litigation over those matters.
Yeah. Called Conyers this morning. Gave us some numbers, 4, 5, 6, and 8. That's not exactly what Kucinich's resolution is addressing, but, you know, while it's up for discussion, there's sure enough reasons to say you guys are multiply illegal and proud of it.
Yeah.
You've had enough.
Well, and intentionally so. You know, their lawbreaking was not accidental. It was not on the margins. It was intentional. It was gross. And it still is going on. So
yeah.
We've got a lot of work to do. I'm glad you're listening, Rob.
All right, have a good night.
You too. John in Carmel Valley, you're next here on the PBC show.
Tom Hartman has been doing a good job of playing recordings of Jimmy Carter announcing his energy policy, and he's done it several times, and he's made a case for it being sabotaged by Ronald Reagan, which I have no doubt had a big role in its essentially getting nowhere in the end. But I also wonder, since he was such a laissez-faire economics-minded person, whether some of the problem wasn't also in that. I hate admitting this, but to be fair to the whole situation, I actually got so mad at Carter that I did the unusual act of, and the only time I did it, I voted for Reagan the first time he ran. I regretted it immediately. But why did I do that? Because I remember twice hearing Jimmy Carter say at news conferences, and he said it exactly the same each time. He said, there is nothing I can do about what the Arabs choose to charge for their oil. Well, if his energy policy had teeth in it, which I think he meant it to have, that would have done something.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they didn't think it had any teeth in it, because anyone living through that time can remember that the increases of what were charged, you know, increased oil prices were happening several times at the worst period, several times a month. Inflation, I forget the exact figures. Somebody might remember them.
It was up around 18-20%.
It was 20% at the banks, and I think 21%, that was the interest rate, and 21%, I think, was the inflation rate, or it was the other way around.
Right, and using fuzzy, phony math, Ronald Reagan added those numbers up and said, that's the misery index. Remember
well,
that?
He capitalized on it, but any politician, anyone running against Carter, that and the hostage situation killed him.
Yeah.
And
well,
he's not
John,
gonna overcome it.
John, I will say that I'm a big admirer of Jimmy Carter's actions since he left the White House. And he did some good things as president. He had good intentions. He tried to link our foreign policy to human rights and then bungled that by cozying up to Marcos and the Shah. And he, of course, authorized the initial support for the Mujahideen, read Osama bin Laden, in Afghanistan in the mid-1980s. A lot of that came out of Cold War thinking. And I don't say that to exonerate or rationalize what Carter did, but he was captive to a certain mindset. And it was, I think, true, objectively true at that point, that we didn't have enough leverage over the OPEC nations to either induce them or penalize them for the price spikes and supply cutoffs that we were seeing at that time.
Well, look, I have totally on some issues changed my mind on Carter. I would have based on how I view him now, I never would have done what I did, mm-hmm. which was, of course, to vote for Reagan.
Well, we do believe in forgiveness on this program, John, so thanks for confessing to us today. I want to move on, okay? Thank you for your call. R.J. Shulman's on the line. He is the independent journalist who's been fired from 13 major dailies. He publishes at the Post, Times, Sun, Dispatch. They're on the web at p-t-s-d.blogspot.com. And if you're good enough to capture that, you're good enough to read all about it at the website. RJ, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, Peter B.
Well, I have mixed feelings because I'm just a little bit jealous. I was driving into my office studio at the super secret location the other day, and I heard Tom Hartman reading an exclusive dispatch from R.J. Shulman.
Well, you know, I guess you can't keep a secret forever, even though the mainstream media is trying to do it. However,
yeah.
You still will get an exclusive for your listeners today.
You're just trying to sweet talk me. I'm sorry. You know, I feel a little competitive with Tom. He's got a national show, and here we're trying to, you know, get ours into national distribution. And I thought we had an understanding, RJ.
Well, you know, it is on the internet, as the president says, and it is available to whoever seems to find it. But
all right, can we ask the NSA to turn down the noise on this line, please? I'm having a little trouble hearing RJ.
Is this any better?
Yeah, that's better. Well, why don't you share with us the story that you published that features Tom Hartman?
Well, the story about Tom Hartman had to do with the fact that there's going to be a documentary on Fox that's going to attack Tom and basically say that he's kind of a phony because he talks about the ecology and those kind of issues, and they call him basically a tree hugger.
Yeah.
And yet he publishes all these books that causes these trees to be chopped down, and they're going to do an expose on him.
Really? You think this is going to, like, follow the story about Hillary having somebody's cat killed?
I think so, and the one about Al Gore using electricity. And as an exclusive, they're actually going to be doing one on you, Peter B.
No.
Yes, they are. This is a scoop, first time heard or seen anywhere. It's called. It's going to be called Peter Beware.
Really?
And it's all about how you better watch your back, and that anybody who's going to broadcast a show that doesn't toe the line, you know, may just disappear.
Wow. I didn't realize that I was actually on the Fox News Channel radar.
I think you've underestimated yourself, Peter.
Yeah. All right. RJ, I'm looking at the site now, and you have another exclusive. We've been sharply critical. We've been hammering, in fact, Senators Schumer and Feinstein for caving on the Mukasey nomination. And one of the arguments they offered was that they didn't think they could get anybody better from the Bush administration.
Well, actually, it's that they were told they were going to get something worse. It was going to be, Beelzebub himself. Or if not, certainly spawn of Torquemada.
Uh-huh.
And so it's going to be somebody that actually knew what torture was all about.
I see.
Knew the definition of it.
Uh-huh. Well, I still can't rationalize the votes that those two made. Now, you have another story here that President Bush is trying to intervene to bust up the writer's strike in Hollywood. Is that because he loves The Daily Show and he misses Jon Stewart?
No, he actually was very concerned about shows like 24. You know, going off the air or going into reruns. And I think that Fox had originally decided to pull the show, but he sent in writers from his staff, and he actually himself will be writing for 24.
Really? Can he write?
Well, from what our spies tell us who have seen the script, Jack Bauer mysteriously goes on a vacation at a ranch that he has to clear brush, and he's replaced by a very virile character called the Decider, who, when confronted with terrorists who have their hands on nuclear weapons, basically says, bring it on.
Wow. This story has not surfaced anywhere else, RJ.
No, I can't believe it. Everybody's talking about this strike, and everybody's worried about missing their favorite programs, and yet this one has escaped the mainstream media.
Yeah. Now, just one more, and this clearly is an exclusive. Dick Cheney has made some plans to make a major donation to the Smithsonian Institute?
That's correct. Dick Cheney is going to donate his horns to the Smithsonian.
Really?
Yes, and this was a surprise. While there had been couple of stories speculating that he was going to perhaps sell it on eBay to the highest bidder or give it to the British Museum. He has decided it was the American thing to do to donate them to the Smithsonian once he's out of office.
Well, RJ, you've always got the stories that nobody else has, and I think people should read them for themselves. Go to the website p-t-s-d.blogspot.com and read the work of reporter RJ Shulman. Thank you, RJ.
Thanks, Peter Reed.
Okay, talk to you again soon. Now to line three, we go to Phoenix, Arizona, where Dave's on the line. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Good evening, Peter. You have the most wonderful listeners I've ever had. Listened into.
Well,
I want to go back to
the same way. Go ahead.
The lady was talking about torture and the Soviet Union agreement.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Actually, America's prohibition on torture goes all the way back to the Revolutionary War.
Well, that's quaint, and that makes it, you know, just kind of outdated and ineffective because it's aged.
Yeah.
It's aged more than cheese.
Treated the American colonists and American soldiers very harshly and tortured and hung and shot and so on.
Mm-hmm.
George Washington issued an order to the Continental Army that they should give the prisoners no reason to complain.
Well, it's kind of sad. Bush is not that much of a student of history because if he were, we never would have invaded and occupied Iraq.
But
you would think they taught him some American history back there in Midland, Texas, when he was growing up there.
Well, that's what I had to say, Peter. You have a nice weekend coming up.
I appreciate it, Dave, and thank you very much for checking in from Phoenix. I miss being on the air there at KPHX. We're going to take a break and return. Got room for another call or two, so you can join this conversation toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Thanks for joining us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
On August 28, Todd Endress was almost eaten alive by an 18-foot great white while surfing on Monterey Bay. A pod of 15 dolphins formed a wall between Todd and the shark, otherwise he would have died. ISARF, the International Shark Attack Research Fund, is a nonprofit foundation spearheaded by Todd to find ways to keep surfers, swimmers, and divers safe in our oceans without harming the shark. If you'd like to help, please go to ISARF.org to make your tax-deductible donation. That's ISARF.org.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I founded a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at the very latest, starting off with a look at the Santa Cruz Mountains. Northbound direction looking fantastic at this point. Southbound, no problems to report. We do have a problem in Campbell on southbound 17. I'm just getting word of this. It's really just regarding some slow traffic at southbound 17 between Hamilton Avenue and Bear Creek, but most of 17 looks really good. Some slow traffic. Let's start off with Southbound 80, Let's go right on over to eastbound 25. It slows out of Gilroy into Hollister. Also taking a look at eastbound and westbound, 68 slows in pockets between Monterey and Salinas, especially in the eastbound direction. And so just be advised there. This report is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Transplant saves lives. Ask your doctor how you can help. Join an organ donor registry or sign up at your, using your driver's license today.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. Taking your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. Our music of the moment from Elvis Costello's first American album.
That girl's that one with a defect. Still a main trick, grab the hook of her head. Red dogs under her eagle legs. She looks so good that he gets down in bed. She is watching the detectives.
Elvis Costello is headlining a benefit concert in San Francisco this Thursday night, joining forces with a good friend of mine, Austin DeLone, a talented keyboard player who's toured with Elvis and with Nick Lowe and Fabulous Thunderbirds, many other great bands. And the benefit is for Austin DeLone's son, who is a victim of a rare disease called Prader-Willi syndrome. And it's a real tough one because it develops in early childhood, and it causes a craving instinct where the person who has this condition feels a constant need to eat, but their metabolisms don't match their appetites. And so if they eat as much as they want to, they often become morbidly obese and die from those complications. So it's a very difficult situation, and Austin and his wife Leslie and a whole crew of musicians, including members of the original Huey Lewis and the News, who actually backed up Elvis Costello on a demo that he did way back in, 1975 or so. They are reuniting in San Francisco for a big benefit concert. I won't be able to be there, but my heart is with them, and I really appreciate the work that all those people are doing for young Richard DeLone. Back to your calls now. Jim and Eureka, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, Peter B., thanks for being there for me to call.
Okay.
Yeah, I just got done listening to Dianne Feinstein talking to the Senate about the Mukasey thing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it seemed like one of her primary arguments was that, like, he isn't Gonzalez.
Yeah, that's her only argument.
Yeah, and, you know, this reminds me of a gal that I knew years ago that got divorced from her husband. They were having problems, and she was like looking for a guy that didn't watch football all the time. Okay, and sure enough, she ran into a guy. And she goes, "Oh yeah, and he doesn't watch football like Mike used to." Well, as it turns out, the guy used to come home drunk as a hoot owl like once a month and beat the crap out of her.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
The new guy. Okay,
right.
So although Mukasey isn't Gonzalez, you know, that is not a reason to put the guy in.
Oh, she's overlooking so much, too,
yeah.
Because I realize that the focal point has been narrowed to his failure to renounce waterboarding. But as we've pointed out, and if people want more information, go to peterlance.com. Peter Lance is an investigative journalist who's written three books about our failed battles against terrorists in this country. And Judge Mukasey, who was in the U.S. Attorney's Office when Rudy Giuliani was there in New York back in the early to mid-90s, was, and this is Peter Lance's estimation, not just mine, was a total failure in trying to address the aftermath of the 93 World Trade Center bombing and the trial of the blind sheikh of Egypt.
Right.
And these two guys really bungled it, and the third guy who's in the picture is Patrick Fitzgerald, who was, you know, given an Elliot Ness image when he took on the prosecution of Scooter Libby.
Oh, right.
And, in effect, found one guy responsible for the whole episode where Valerie Plame was outed and treasonous behavior occurred. And I do recognize that the issues that Libby were convicted for were just lying to investigators and obstruction of justice. But I believe that Patrick Fitzgerald pulled punches there.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, that was like a weak situation there.
Yeah, you know? But back to Mukasey.
Like, they're in the Senate and they're parsing torture. Our country has come to this.
Oh, well, it's disgusting, but they've been doing it for a while. And we had that open debate between Dick Cheney and John McCain that resulted in a bill that the president crossed his fingers when he signed by using a signing statement that said, you can say whatever you want, and I'm going to do whatever I want.
Right. Okay. Well,
now, Jim, there's one little, I can't call it a bright spot, but there's a moment here that we cannot dismiss. And that is, I am really angry.
Better be good.
Okay. You know that I've been hammering Feinstein for caving on the Southwick judicial nomination, for caving on Mukasey.
Right.
Well, today she announced that she may reconsider her position regarding giving amnesty to the telephone companies back to 2001. We know that the wiretapping and the intercept of emails started before 9/11. It started in February or March of that year, and she has decided that maybe it's not wise to grant amnesty and, clear of legal liability the phone companies that colluded with the government to spy on American citizens in direct violation of the FISA law. Well, now, this is a break because Feinstein has been trying to paper over this intentional lawbreaking since it was revealed by the New York Times in 2006.
Yeah, well, if they didn't break the law, why would they need amnesty?
Well, we are working. I understand that we've had a schedule change, but Mark Klein is the heroic American who blew the whistle on the AT&T collusion with the Bush administration. We've been working to schedule him. We had a date for tomorrow, but I think it's been moved. So keep listening to our program, because someday very soon he's going to come on, and I think he's going to reveal to us the extent to which our emails, including all those mega dick things that I get.
Yeah, I saw him on Keith Olbermann last night, and he's worth listening to.
Yeah,
So if I stay on the line, can I get information on when you and Roy Zimmerman are going to be up here in Eureka?
Oh, you just announced it.
But when? And how do I get in?
The date is scheduled for November 30th, and I got to call Tom Seaborn and get all the details nailed down. But
okay.
We'll make a formal announcement in the next few days. But go ahead and mark your calendar. I will be in Eureka, and I'm planning to bring Roy Zimmerman with me.
Great.
And that'll be on Friday, November 30th.
Okay.
All right, Jim, thanks for the call.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Happy trails to you.
We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same great radio stations, and on the internets, too. Log on to peterbcollins.com for our podcasts.
Hemp, the superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A court hearing on the O.J. Simpson case just wrapped up for the day in Las Vegas. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports.
The court heard for the first time a voicemail message left by O.J. Simpson after the confrontation. The message was left for Thomas Riccio, the man who helped Simpson arrange for the meeting that went wrong. In the message, Simpson tries to suggest that no guns were involved in the confrontation.
I don't know what they're talking about, a gun. Anybody have any gun? Where did that come from?
Like, I guess they're feeling guilty, so they try to make up something.
Riccio and a second witness testified that guns were clearly visible during the incident. Later witnesses at this hearing are expected to testify that Simpson wanted weapons brought to the hotel. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the County Courthouse in Las Vegas.
The Senate right now is debating the nomination of Michael Mukasey to be Attorney General. Confirmation is expected. Mukasey won the Judiciary Committee's support after promising to enforce a law against waterboarding if one is enacted. To that end, a House panel held a hearing today and heard from a former interrogation instructor for the Navy.
Contrary to popular opinion, it is not a simulation of drowning. It is drowning.
Malcolm Nance said waterboarding is torture, period. But Arizona Republican Trent Frank said sometimes we have to take measures we do not like.
Clearly, severe interrogations in some circumstances may be necessary to prevent severe consequences that involve the violent deaths of thousands of innocent Americans.
CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports on the latest go-round over funding the Iraq war.
The plan is to give President Bush $50 billion, about a quarter of the Iraq money he wants for the year, with strings, requiring troop withdrawals to start immediately with a goal of a pullout within a year. Democrats have tried this before and it didn't work because they don't have the votes to override a veto and are not willing to stick to their position and let the money for the war actually run out because they say they don't want to hurt the troops.
A potential embarrassment for presidential hopeful Rudy Giuliani. His one-time protege, former New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik, has been indicted on federal corruption charges. CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts reports the arraignment is planned for tomorrow.
Bernard Kerik will surrender to federal authorities sometime Friday morning at an undisclosed location, sort of a professional courtesy, one cop to another. Then he'll be taken to